In a world where Toku fans are easy and the wrong figure arts are released for retail, three man children stand not quite shoulder to shoulder with their trusty spray can at their side, united across timelines and space against the congealed, grimdark 90s inspired hordes. Shuku and Shinobi, Dossum Rifle, Jedi Mom, Aerosol. Their mission, to bring you the latest Toku news in the craziest way possible. Riders, Rangers, and Rambles Season 4. If you don't listen to this show, you don't know anything about Tokusatsu.
Hello, and welcome to our Season 4, Episode 28.
Reading Robo. I almost said Reading Robot for some reason. You show us the robot where we read. You have to read while simultaneously rowing or you'll die.
Oh, that's awesome.
A bunch of kids, they freak out so much they just start rowing with the books.
It's an awful experience.
Totally. Reading, the worst.
Well, reading while rowing.
Well, just reading in general. The rowing just exacerbates things.
It's like two bad things together.
Oh, look, it's him.
Who?
Kevin, I just saw him sign in.
Oh.
Maybe he'll appear. He'll appear. That's slang for appear. He'll get it.
Okay.
We all just wait.
Awkward silence.
I don't think I really bought anything significant. I bought some Skylanders and some Transformers. I'm like, really? That's it? I'm checking out. I finally found the new Shredder. I still need Spider Bite. Like I said, Transformers, those were a thing. I found one of the new Battle Shell Turtles. I found Raph. That was it. There. I've slowly been building up my Pokemon Black and White Series 2 two-pack figures. Like, I just sporadically find a new one and then buy it.
True story.
So that's a thing. But yeah, nothing significant. The Super Mega Force toys are supposed to be out by the weekend, so.
Raz is like tracking that shit. This is like a covert op.
So
I got 04897 coming into Wyoming right now. Do we have confirmation? Do we have confirmation? What's Davis doing in this scene? Oh yeah, I forgot he's also tweeting Digimon at the same time.
Watching Digimon while sitting in Toys R Us's back room. Waiting patiently.
He's pretty dedicated to this.
Yeah. More so than I ever am or will be. But that's fine. Other than that, just been slowly unpacking. Organized a lot of boxes today. It was a cleaning day. Our house actually kind of looks like a house now, so that's fun. I think I will just move on, because I've got nothing besides been playing Pokemon. By the time this goes live, I'll have Super Mario 3D World and Zelda Link Between Two Worlds.
You had jury duty, and you got on the Scranton Strangler case, and then you wouldn't stop talking about it for 3 years.
Yeah,
don't you remember that?
That was a thing.
And then you went to visit him, and he tried to strangle you.
Yeah.
That
happened,
fun.
Actually. No, that was... I had jury duty, but basically what happened is, like, there was just, like, there's probably about 30, 35 of us or so. And so we're all in a room, just sitting there. And they're like, well, usually the cases get resolved, we don't really need anyone. But for now, you just have to hold tight. If any of the cases go through, we'll need to form a jury of 7, and then you'll have to come back Thursday or Friday, or both days if the cases run long, and yada yada. So everyone's like, oh, fuck this shit. There's one lady in the corner complaining about how Pope Francis is like the devil pope. That was fun to listen to. This other guy...
This has nothing to do with the case.
This other guy was saying how he shouldn't be there because he's Canadian.
What am I doing here, eh?
So he was really
mad.
What's
this, the boots?
One lady was doing her Christmas cards.
Brian's just playing Pokemon with the music all the way turned up.
I was just sitting there breeding... I think I was breeding Rotoms at the time. So yeah, I fully bred one of my teams, so that's fun. I have to EV train him still, but that's done. And about 2.5 hours after that, the cop came in and was like, yeah, all the cases are cleared, everyone's free to go home.
And then he arrested the Canadian guy for being illegal.
Like, I'm glad that, like, didn't actually happen, because the Canadian guy, like, legit said he would not prosecute anyone. So
you would have just been stuck in there forever.
Been stuck in there forever, because this Canadian guy was not going to prosecute anyone. So that would have been awful. But so the Canadian people.
Stupid Canadians. Man. Gotta ruin everything for us.
That's it.
Okay, I think that's my turn then. Let's see. I got a PS4. That was a thing. I didn't go at midnight because I was here. So I just went in there in the afternoon the next day and casually picked it up. So that's been fun. I got Assassin's Creed 4, and that's pretty awesome, actually. I really am enjoying it. I haven't gotten to play in a few days, though. I hope to get back to it tomorrow. I don't think I really found anything toy-wise. I think I forgot to mention last week, did I, that I found that White Ranger? I don't remember, but I found him. But I haven't really found anything else.
What did you say you found at Target?
Mm-hmm. And they had those regular guys, too. The regular Ultra Mode that are not as shiny, not as pretty. But other than that, I think that's really about it. I dusted some shelves today. That was fun. The ones that are, like, really high up, and they're, like, a thick layer of dust. It's, like, ridiculous. There's spiders living in one of the Megazord compartments. You know what's really gross is I dusted, one of my older Megazord shelves yesterday, and I opened the warrior wheel, and there's, like, all this dust inside of the little, like, crater that's in the warrior wheel. I'm like, my God. And then I made the mistake of going, and then it went right in my face. It's like, poison gas! So that was awful.
Yeah, my mom's house is basically like a dust paradise. And so here I am, like, boxing up everything, and everything is just coated in layers of dust, and it's awful.
There are certain areas in my room I still won't dust just because, like, I can't see them that often, so it's, like, out of sight, out of mind. I don't know what you're talking about. That area of the room does not exist. Although I did have to get one NPR shelf when I had to get by my TV to put the PS4 up and give out behind this window. I thought it was going to be covered in dust and be really bad, and it wasn't that bad except for this one dead bee in there that no idea how it got there. Some bitch could have killed me. Lucky I'm still here.
You would have hated my house during the summer.
Oh yeah, the bee. There was a bee a couple weeks ago when you were watching the Golden Girls. You're just sitting there trying to enjoy life, and it's just like, bzz, 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 motherfucker. Brian's like, don't leave until we find it. Oh, that's about it. Tomorrow. Just a huge ass shot of Denden sensor.
Well, okay, Kevin's here, but
my turn.
I was waiting for him to speak.
Yeah.
It's his turn.
Awesome was supposed to scream and be all scared.
We all knew you were here. I don't love Dawson.
I saw you sign in. I was the one that talked about it.
Dang it, I'm sad now.
Why would I be scared?
Because you're a woman.
Okay. No wonder you killed me.
That's right. Let's see. What have I got? I got my last Amiami box. So I got all my Gaim stuff. That's fun. The arms change figures are totally fun.
How's Ryugen?
Awesome. Like, he's so much fun, especially like you start putting the grapes on people and...
He just hits it on like regular people. He just takes a little grape and places it on people in public. It's pretty funny.
Yeah. Just puts a banana on Ryugen. He looks really funny. Got a giant banana on his head. The lock seeds are awesome. Like, I totally love those things a lot. What's even funnier is that the only one Kaylee can work is grape. Like, she can't figure out how to open Gaims. like the orange and the
little switches are too complicated.
It's too complicated. I tried showing her; it just doesn't work. She just keeps going back to grape because all I got to do is push the button in, and that's much easier to figure out. And let's see, what did I do? Oh, I got that Sylveon card collection. I found that, and I was like, Eevee's mine.
You wanted the figure too, didn't you?
Yes. It's actually the first time I've ever gotten an Umbreon card, ever.
Really?
Like, I've got every other Eevee, like, two or three times over. It's the only Umbreon card I've ever been able to get.
If I find any, I'll send you some Umbreons.
So I feel accomplished. And I got another Transformer. Blaster, that's like that Soundwave I got a while back. I just need to find his little cassettes to go with him.
I saw him bought the cassettes. I didn't even buy Blaster, thinking about it.
I got Soundwave and I got the two sets of Decepticon cassettes. I just need to get the Autobot ones now.
I zoned out for a minute. All I heard was I need to buy those cassettes. I'm like, are we doing the 90s episode again?
Dawson's like, did we get back around to April? Did I just sleep for 5 months?
Better lay down some fat beats.
Let's see. I got my fifth badge in Black 2, and then I started X and Y. I've been playing that. Actually, I've been playing X. I haven't done too much in Y, but it's so much fun. It's so pretty. And, like, it's funny because, I mean, I just finished, like, the Santalon Forest or whatever. So I'm on, like, Route 3 at the beginning of the game, and I'm like, I just keep leveling.
Like, yeah, that's the game.
Like, without even trying to, I'm just like, oh, look, you went up 2 more levels. Okay. Next. Oh, you went up a level. Okay. I've been here, like, 5 minutes. I haven't even done anything. Everybody's gone up, like, 3 levels. Like, what are you doing? That was pretty fun. What else have I done? So, my small child is funny. The other day, I was telling her something, and I was holding my DS, and I was for whatever reason, I had my arms folded, so it was up close to my face. She just looks at me and goes, "No, Daddy, don't talk into that. That is not your phone. That is your DSi." I was like, "Okay, sorry." Like, but the fact that she heard is like, "It's your DSi." I'm like, "Oh, all right." Getting specific on us, are we? And then tonight,
the difference is impressive.
I know, right? So then, as it is, she sits there and she'll go, "We're watching." What was it? Oh, she gets my phone and she puts on the Pokemon TV app and she'll start playing episodes and she'll go, "Oh, Daddy, I found Meowth. Look, he's right here.
He's in every episode."
But she took my phone and we're watching episodes and watching things tonight. And her little cousin was over, so then he was watching stuff with us. He was watching Pokemon and Power Rangers and Turtles with us and Ben 10. And she wanted to play on my phone. I said, "No, we're watching this." She says, "Okay." She took my Xerneas stylus and my phone, and she goes, "Okay, this is my DSi. I'm going to play Pokemon like you." I said, "Okay."
I said, "You only had one screen."
Doesn't matter. Look, in a mind of a 3-year-old, it was a DSi with 2 screens, and she was going to play Pokemon like her daddy. She wanted to be just like me. I said, "You want to be like me?" "Yes." I said, "Okay." So she was playing on her DSi, and she was going to play Pokemon. Because she goes, "This is my DS." I said, "What you going to play?" She goes, "Pokemon, like you." I said, "Okay." So see that? You got to start them young, Brian. This is how you work it. You start them young. And, what did I did something at work. I don't remember what it was. I think it was when I started Y. I started X and Y, and I told her I got Froakie. She goes, "Froakie?" Like, she got all excited. Like, her eyes got all big. "You got Froakie?"
And then
bitch, you don't even know what a Froakie is.
Actually, she does. She knows Froakie.
Well,
I have that plush one. Yeah, I have that plush one. She loves Froakie.
Everyone should know Froakie.
Well, and then I was doing the X tonight, and I caught Pikachu, and I caught like the monkeys and stuff. I told her, I was like, "What?" I go, "She was. I want to help you, because she'll sit there and I'll tell her what to push, and she'll push the touch screen." And I told her not to. I turned it off. I got to charge the machine. She goes, "Oh, okay." I said, "I caught Pikachu." She goes, "Oh, you got Pikachu?" I'm like, yeah. I was like, "And I got the monkeys." "Oh, you got the monkeys?" Because she's seen my plush monkeys that I got from Disney World. So she loves those for some whatever reason. I guess just because they're monkeys. She's like, "You got the monkeys?" I'm like, "Yeah."
I've really grown to not like those things.
I love them. Why do you not like them? I mean, granted, in black and white, the first ones, they were really overused.
They're really hard to catch compared to this game.
In black and white?
No, yeah, they're in black and white. They're hard to catch, especially compared to...
Well, I mean, I caught them in 2 minutes here in X, but like in white, too, it only took me like 15 minutes to find all three. I caught them one behind the other.
That took me forever.
Like black, too, took about an hour, I think, to find all three. White, too, I did it literally in about 15 minutes. I was surprised. I'm like, what the hell? Like, all of a sudden, bam, next rustling grass, bam, the monkey, next rustling grass, bam, the third monkey. I'm like, well, that was easy.
The universe really wanted you to have monkeys.
It wanted me to have monkeys. Sad part is I'm using one in black, too, but not white, too. I'm using my semi-sage. So I've already used the other two. But... I'm trying to think, did I get anything else? I got that X and Y guide, that book, the hardcover tiny book that's really not that helpful. But I felt the need to own it since I own the guide for every other game. Plus, it was shiny and pretty.
Hello, giant piece of useless.
I know. I caught up on all my Pokemon manga. I got like 4 books in today. I got like Diamond and Pearl 9. I got Ruby and Sapphire 19. HeartGold, SoulSilver 2, and then Black and White 2. So I'm finally coming up on all that. Plus I got the next.
I'm afraid to find out how behind I am in Pokemon manga.
I know, like, well, I had gotten in like a month, so like I had to catch up on buying all. Even though Black and White 2 was out, so I went to place the order on Amazon. I'm like, let me just check this just in case. Yep, there was another one to get. I'm like, oh fuck. But so that's cool. I don't think I got anything else. I bought you guys I bought all three of us the 2 lock vehicles. And
everything else.
And everything else ever. Because, well, you know what happens is I get up.
Productive week.
I get up early in the morning to go to work. Like, it's 6 o'clock my time, or 6:30 my time. And I actually don't even do it here. At home, I get to work, which I'm in a little bit of trouble for, but like, cause my boss is like, he sits down and he's like, "Now, Kevin, you do a lot for me on this computer here, but I get the feeling that when I'm not here, and maybe even when you're here, you're doing things on this computer that are for you, and it had nothing to do with work." I'm like, I have my email open. He's like, "No." It's like, "I don't know what a Twitter is or what it looks like." So I wouldn't know what it is if I saw it. Like, I'm thinking, okay, now somebody's keeping an eye on me or something and telling you things, because if you don't know what a Twitter is, that's awfully specific to tell me about. It means I need to find somebody and punch them in the face. Yeah, and I just get on AmiAmi and I just look for things, and then I just start purchasing as fast as I can. Like, I start with me, and then if I know Brian doesn't have it, I might buy for Brian next. Otherwise, I just buy for Dawson second. It's easier. I don't have to select domestic. Although Dawson's weird, because I have to tell it to combine with the order. Me and Brian just automatically does it. Because Dawson's a fuck.
Why doesn't mine do it?
I don't know. Yours automatically comes up with, like, ship with this order.
Yeah, because you don't have it set to automatically combine.
Oh, I didn't know you could do that.
Yeah. Oh, that reminds me of Dawson. So... I listen to the podcast in the car by myself or with my child.
Is this the bad word story?
It's a bad word story, but it's. I'm listening, and Dawson, he said something, and he said, "Fuck," and she goes, "Oh, Dawson said a bad word. Right, because you can pick out Dawson's voice and Brian's voice separately from each other and mine.
It's more than Jeff could do. Sorry. I'm just saying. I'm just saying.
I said, oh, yeah, he did. Yeah, he bad. So my child says you're bad, Dawson.
How has she not picked up your cussing yet? We cuss within like the first 5 minutes.
I don't know, but she only hears it when you do it. Like, because Brian says it like 2 minutes later, no response.
Shukun Shinobi can do it all wrong.
We knew that already. It's only when Dawson does it. Oh, Dawson said bad word.
Why does Dawson, even the kid, hates you?
I'm the Brita of life.
Like, I just think it's fantastic that Dawson says bad words. He's in trouble. The rest of us can say whatever the hell we want. So what you got, Aerosol?
Nothing. Wake me up when we get to the summaries.
Wake me up before you go. Don't leave me hanging on like a yo-yo.
Well, that shouldn't be too long. Do we have any news at all?
Nope.
Aerosol, it's going to be a short nap. It's going to be like that episode Kelly got to sleep under the desk.
If anything happened this week, it wasn't significant enough for me to remember.
Songs came out.
Yeah.
Amy. Emperor was announced.
Amy's awful.
Emperor is an April exclusive.
Hey, those He's first 10 seconds aren't bad.
Yeah, if you...
And then she starts saying words.
If you find a karaoke version, it's pretty tolerable. Too bad it doesn't exist.
The ancient Japanese art of karaoke.
But the CD balances out by Soji and Ian's songs being pretty good, and Bragigas and Torin's songs being absolutely terrific and awesome.
We have 4 carnival songs.
Yeah, 1 for each 4. Form, because they couldn't just put them on one song.
It's so dumb.
So dumb.
I downloaded it, and I'm like, wait, I just listened to this song. Why am I listening to it again? And then I finally realized that, oh, hey, there's 4 of these listed. And they're not bunched together.
They're spread out
over the course of the album.
And it's the same song with a slightly different background track with one word changed.
Your mom.
Yeah, pretty much.
Probably a response.
So yeah, songs came out. Emperor's getting released, but no one really cares about him.
Kabuto Renewal is very expensive.
If Kabuto Renewal's price is a sign of normal retail price for figure arts now,
I'm gonna high five Brian.
I'm super happy I'm not into this anymore. Because he's like, without AmiAmi discount, he's like 5,000 yen or something like that. For one
he's
retail
like
release figure.
It's like
he's
an SIC.
He's like Rock Bison's price.
And even with AmiAmi's discount, he's more than the usual retail price for a figure.
Yeah. I'd love to have it because he's pretty and it was an update to the Kabuto and I like Kabuto, but I'm like, no, I can't. Like, no one can afford that. That's just ridiculous. Like, stop. So I'm like,
he sold out, so obviously several people
Can
afford him.
Well, yeah.
Sold out in 15 seconds. Or less than
I mean, like, especially if the Gaim figures are going to be like that, I'm glad I'm going to stick with my arms change figures. Like,
well, that and the arms change figures are awesome.
Well, yeah, but, like, you know what I mean, though. Like, that's ridiculously stupid. I want to see some more Sentai figure arts. What the hell, man? They keep putting out these fucking riders, and look, here's Black Erection Rule and Acrobatter, and I don't give a fuck. Give me some Sentai. Give me somebody I care about, like Ryo and Mele.
Yeah, it's never gonna happen.
Beating Stag Buster. What the fuck happened to them? Dark Red Buster. That'd be a thing.
Any Sentai collector's line is pretty much just doomed to fail.
I know, right? It's ridiculous.
Rest in peace, Super Robot Chogokin.
Super Robot Chogokin, also known as Gao Gaigar, the toy line.
You know, it's upsetting because I've been doing that podcast catch-up thing. I'm up to February of this year now, actually, like mid-February. And I just got done with us several times talking about Robot Chogokin things. And like, oh, look, we saw fucking, you know, Daibokan and shit. Like, he should be coming out soon. Never seen him again. And then now here, you know, we have
like... Daibokan gets me because it was at, like, goddamn Comic-Con or something.
Yeah.
It was at a U.S. show.
Like, we went through all these things we saw for that, never seen him again. We see all these Sentai things, we haven't seen half of those guys. Like, it's just upsetting. The Sentai is so awesome. Like, we're sitting there complaining about, like, I would love to see a figure art of Dark Red Buster, and we need Beaten Zag Buster and Jay, and here we are, Kuroyuger's almost done, and we still haven't gotten the rest of the Go Buster team. Like the regular team, Beaten Stag Buster, not anything extra special like maybe, you know, like these Spirit Rangers would be. No, just a regular fuck team.
A regular fuck team.
Like,
I like how we got the Buddy Roids and we can't get the rest of the actual team.
Yeah. Fucking USADA came with Yoko. Just, I don't understand, man. How hard is it would it be to make Beaten Stag Buster? I mean, first of all, they're not too much different from each other. Let alone just be different from the rest of the team. You know?
Just be a slight remold of the male body and that's it.
Dark Red Buster is a slight remold of Red. You can easily make that for an exclusive. Half the Sentai figure.
They're saving them for the new figure at the body.
So they can charge us 3 times the price? Fuck yes. Them. Fuck them in the ass. I mean that, too. I really will take, like, a big flaming stick and fuck them in the ass with it. I don't care.
The hell was that?
Probably that was the reaction to the thought of getting fucked in the ass with a flaming stick.
That was some pretty good timing.
Just saying.
Tucker's pissing me the fuck off with this bullshit. I'll have to bust a cap in some asses over a Tamashii. Ride up on them sons of bitches. Pow, pow.
Okay.
From the streets.
On that note...
I've been from the streets since season 2.
On that note, now it's time for...
superhero time. Kyoryuger. Gaim. I still don't have a thing for Gaim. I still don't have a jingle for Gaim. that dancing Kamen Rider show. Like, I don't have a thing for Gaim. I don't know how to say it. Like, I could be like the DJ guy, be obnoxious about it.
Just say Beat Rider a lot. That's what he does.
Beat the Rider, Gaim, on stage. Like, I could do that. Be like a total ass nozzle.
I just saw Pokemon cards on Mandarake. That was weird.
Pokemon cards are everywhere, Brian. They're even at your house.
Oh, I got boxes everywhere.
No way. Brian turns around, sees some Pokemon cards, just screams.
Holy shit, cat, come see, look what I found. There are Pokemon cards in our house. What the fuck?
How'd these get here? You bought them. Oh, yeah.
Mystery solved. Thanks, Scooby. So we're on episode 37 of Cuber Boobers, and basically it starts off, Chaos is like, oh shit, I got this cramp in my hand from too much alone time, Dogol, take over. He's like, okay. So they're like, what are we gonna do, Dogol? You're in charge now. He's like, let's go find some ghost monsters. He's like, okay, fucking Scooby-Doo. And so they go off to find some ghosts. And meanwhile, the Kyoryugers are back at base. They're putting fucking pain patches on Nobu because he's so fucking old. Like, they're bandaging up everybody. Soji, meanwhile, is just training away. He's like, I want to be as good a swordsman as Torin. I'm like, whatever, bro. You're a fucking faggot. So, you know, Torin's like, dude, you really can't. Like, I'm a step off, dude. Like, it doesn't work that way. You're just gonna die or something. He's like, eh, whatever, I'll do it anyway. So fuck it. So I'm like, whatever. So they go, And the bad guys, they find Lucky. He finds some ghost monsters, and it's the sports one, the nightmare one, and the teacher one, right? Because this is just a winning combination of monsters that we had the first time around. We're going to put all three in the same episode. So he sees the sports guy and the teacher guy being all like, "Oh, we're teaching you things," and he had like PTSD flashbacks. He was like, "Oh fuck, I'm getting out of here." Totally abandoned his monster. I'm like, "Dude, you're a douchebag." So meanwhile, the Kiryu just come out. They start fighting, and they give the nightmare dude a pillow, and he uses that pillow to switch their bodies. So like red and pink are switched, blue and black, and then green and gold, and they're in like. The first two groups that get switched, they're all like, "Oh fuck, this is weird," and then like, "We can't handle this." And then green and gold get switched, but they can still fight because they're both like good swordsmen, so it doesn't really fucking matter. And so they go off, and like, they're just doing weird shit. Like, Amy ties Daigo in her body to a pole in the base, so he can't like touch himself or something. Like, she's that concerned he's going to touch her body in places. She just ties him to a pole. Like, that seems a bit extreme. A simple "please don't touch" would have sufficed, but okay. Like, it's not like it was Ian. Like, it's Daigo, for God's sake. If it was Ian, I'd say tie his ass up. Like, blindfold him and shackle him and shit, but it's Daigo.
I don't think Daigo even knows what a boob is.
Yeah, like, he wouldn't know what to do with it. Meanwhile, like, Nobu's trying to shave, or Ian's trying to shave Nobu's body. Meanwhile, Nosan's all dressed like an old man as Ian, and they're, like, getting pissed off at each other. Like, it's like fucking Lindsay Lohan over here going Freaky Friday on us. And then we had, meanwhile, Soji is in Uchi's body, still training. And Sakshi shows Uchi and he notices like pain in Soji's arm because he's been trained to be like Torin, even though Torin said don't do it. And they end up fighting some more. And they get switched some more. And they start swapping weapons Gokaiger style to try and get the right weapons, and it still is not really working. Then Torin comes in and is like, "Kyoryu Silver, I'm badass." You're like, "I know, right?" So he starts, like, you know, totally raping the monsters. Like, "Haha, I'm the boss. You can't switch me with Daigo and the others." And they're like, "We can do this, though." And they swap him with the teacher monster. So now the teacher monster is Kiryu Silver. And like, "Oh, we've been studying up on you, Kiryu Silver. I can do your finishing technique." Except, like, Soji, like, blocks it and throws it back at him. And like, "Oh, fuck." That shouldn't have happened. And then, like, it's funny because they're on different bodies. So, like, now, what's his name? Uchi, who's in Nosan's body, is standing next to Torin, who's in the monster's body. And it's like, see, Soji's all dedicated. Soji's in Daigo's body now. And it's all confusing. I don't even know who's who anymore. They have to, like, flash through, like, three different things to show you who's who now. And he's like, see, he's dedicated. He wants to be like you and be a swordsman. That's awesome. And so he's like, okay, that's fine. And they get the pillow and destroy the pillow. And everyone goes back into their bodies. And I'm like, yay, we did it. And Torin does the finishing move himself. I was like, this is how you do it, bitch. And blows up one monster. And then they do seven dino carnival finish and blow up the other two monsters, and then they grow big and they do a Giga Kyoryugen and do that, like, that all Juden Ryu finisher, and they're like, haha, we killed three more fucking ghost monsters. And then Torin tells Soji, he's like, you can't be imitating me anymore, so I'm gonna train you because I can do that. And then Soji's like a little kid in a candy store, he's like, yay, I get my candy and eat it too. And he's all excited. And then it ends. So this was a fun episode. Kyoryu Silver is really awesome. I love Torin, like, fighting. Like, I just love how he just walks in. It's like, he's shooting him with the Gigabu revolver. Like, bitches, you gonna stop this shit? And just starts doing his little dancing thing in that big bird suit. Like, I just think it looks funny. And I just think it was funny the body switching thing. I mean, they've done it, and I think every series for the last few series that I can remember of Sentai, there's always like that body switching episode. Luca and Doc did it in Gokaiger. I don't think they did it in GoBusters, but they did have like where people just looked like each other. But they did it. They've done it in a bunch of. They did it in Gosager, I think, and Shinkenger. Machi Ranger did it. Like they do it a lot. We're like, oh look, body switching. But this actually felt, even though it's been done before, it still felt like interesting and not boring to watch. So that was fun. I just enjoyed watching Lucky abandon his monster. Like, oh bro, you're stuck there with those guys. Sorry, fuck you. I'm leaving. Like, well, that's kind of a dick move, but whatever. What did you guys think? Someone else talk.
Really, guys?
Ah, silence, you've returned.
I'll talk, fine.
It was like a standoff. I'm not talking. No, I'm not talking. Fuck you, I'm not talking on this podcast. Should I have to talk?
I knew as soon as I was going to say something, someone else was going to say something too, and I wanted to avoid that. Apparently we all did. Anyway, I was.
Really, I just assumed y'all were all still in the bathroom.
No, I never went anywhere.
I left twice.
I was really skeptical of the episode at first, because like you said, we've done this so many times before. Like, I'm worried they're eventually going to run out of ways to switch bodies. And I'm sure this... I mean, okay, now they did it with a pillow, but...
The so pillow pet.
Scratch that one off the list. They did it with a pillow pet. But it worked to an extent. This episode kind of highlighted what we said before, the fact that this team now has three swordsmen in it. And they kind of highlighted that by switching green and gold, which are both swordsmen. And apparently they taught each other how to do each other's moves.
Flame swordsman.
That was a thing. When the episode started, I didn't think about the whole Torn being Devoss, so they can't switch thing. And so I was over here thinking, like, oh, Soji's going to get switched with Torn, and then he's going to have to do the Trinity thing.
Exactly. That's what I was thinking,
that was
too.
The first thing I thought of, but they didn't go that route, so okay. So it was nice to be proven wrong for once, because occasionally these things get really predictable, so you're like, oh... called it, but it was nice to be wrong, so that was nice.
You're wrong a lot, though.
Yeah, that happens.
Oh, so Gokaiger.
He called GoBusters being better than Gokaiger in episode 2.
Yeah,
it did. I don't know, but Saban buying back PR, O's, Gokaiger. Brian's got a bit of a streak going.
Nothing but good things.
Look, I've got a messy track record. But I mean, overall, messy. It was... I wouldn't say it was a fantastic episode, but I didn't really have too many issues with it. I like how they used the learning opportunity to kind of describe the Giga Gabba Revolver, since they didn't really mention it at all.
Yeah.
Oh, it's more powerful because it's Giga or something.
Because we got the name Giga in front of it. It's like a Gigapet, but with revolvers.
Fucking Gigapets.
This ain't no Tamagotchi revolver. Shit.
This is a Gigapet, motherfucker.
I still have a couple of those somewhere.
Gigapet was basically the sign that you couldn't find a normal Tamagotchi.
I like Gigapets. I have Tamagotchi too somewhere.
I've honestly never heard of it.
Really?
A Gigapet? No.
Well then you're not a 90s kid. Sorry. I couldn't resist. I hate those things where, like, you're a 90s kid if... I'm like, well, the only qualifier for being a 90s kid is being born in the 90s. Just provide your birth certificate and you're fine. Anyway. I thought it was a pretty fun episode. Like I said last week, I was actually kind of looking forward to seeing how the switches happen, just because everyone has such a distinct personality, and I thought that the... The fights were kind of funny with them trying to figure out each other's style, and them. I liked them doing the roll call.
The roll call was fantastic.
With their own poses and saying, like, show you pink, but really show you red. So I thought that was funny. As annoying as Amy's things are, it was kind of funny to see Daigo go, wow! And put his hands up. Although
I want to screenshot that.
The voice sync seemed to be really off.
They really needed to just be their own voice.
Yeah, that would have been better.
That really irked me, because, I mean, they switch bodies. Their voices shouldn't change. That's not how bodies work.
Yeah.
Because I would have loved to see...
Brian went to bodies.
Brian has tested this.
I am. You don't know what I do in my spare time.
Oh, God.
But, I mean, I would have loved to see, like, Daigo's actor try to do Amy's stupid-ass annoying wow thing. But, no, we just had a voiceover instead. But...
At least you got to act it out.
Speaking of, I really hate that wow thing, and I hope Amy dies in a fire.
The suit actor
kept
did a,
doing it. It was pissing
a
me off.
A pretty good job of, you know, changing the mannerisms up. Like, I noticed how tall... Kiryu Green stands whenever whoever he would switch to, he always stood really straight. Kind of, like, you don't notice like how everyone sort of slouches when he kind of stands in their suit. And Pink did a good job of kind of taking on King's mannerisms, and at least the suit actors got it down.
Yeah,
suit actors probably prepare for this.
This is true. They spend,
like, this is going to happen sometime in the course of the show.
Like, well, tonight's the night I start acting like a girl.
Then Dawson is very much ready for this. Dawson's been acting like a girl for years.
I thought it was just an average episode.
Yeah.
It was okay.
But next week we get a focus on Tessai. That's
that's random. That
I know, that confused me. But okay. Also made me happy because
weird,
made me happy because it's Boken Silver, so I'm like, alright.
Eat some celery. It's gonna be a thing.
Like, I'm happy that, like, a random character like Tessai can get a focus episode, but it looks really weird.
I want more Ramirez focus just to see him say things. I just want to hear him speak.
I know. I know. I miss him.
So I can hear Arisol's voice say, God damn it, Ramirez, whenever he does anything. I still love how they had Tessai's bald thing be a cap. Presumably because he just didn't want to explain his hair anymore. Like, I love that. Like, ha! You thought I was bald the whole time. Plot twist. Blew my mind.
That was funny.
Pokemon. Oh, that's not.
It's a battle, win or lose. It's the friends you make. It's the road you choose.
There we go.
You got the right stuff.
Time now.
Make your mind.
It sounded like Ford now.
Time.
That's gonna be the new Gaim thing. Gaim now. Okay. So Gaim summary. We start up pretty much where we left off with Kurokage and Greedon, or what's his name? Org. What's his name? Ornak. Yeah, there we go.
God damn.
Transforming, and it looks like they're all gonna team up on Gaim, but then they decided to start beating the shit out of Baron. And so Gaim winds up protecting him, and Ryugen and him defeat Kurokage and Greedon, and they take their lock seeds. And after that, Team Gaim's getting all hyped, and they're making charts, and they're really excited about their rankings. And Kota's looking for a job at this pastry place, but he gets shut down because he didn't have the right sign. Because the flamboyant dude doesn't like his sign. He's like, what was he? Aquarius or something?
Aquarius.
He doesn't like the ending of 40-Year-Old Virgin, so he just kicked him out. And so he's really disgruntled about it, and when Mai brings food from his place over, he hisses at the menu. I thought that was really funny. He just picks up the menu and goes, meanwhile, Baron's alliance is falling apart, and his teammates are like, yo, your alliance, like, fell apart in, like, two episodes, so, like, what are we gonna do? And then he just walks away, and he's got fruit cards all the time. That's pretty much his thing. Meanwhile, Michi's walking by his brother's room or whatever, and he sees that he has a driver and some lock seeds. And when he steps out of the room, he decides to steal a melon lock seed because he thinks it would be less trouble than trying to get one through the sword. Well, I don't have a sword,
was,
so I don't get
that
one.
That
was
Suika, though.
Yeah, he stole a watermelon.
Oh. Well, they're both melons.
Yeah.
He was totally slick about it, too. Like,
whole arm behind my back.
Well, because I thought that it was regular Melon, because isn't that his going to be Zangetsu's other arms? Isn't he Melon?
Zangetsu is Melon. His other one's going to be...
Oh, shit, that's right. Yeah, but then I realized it was Watermelon later. But anyway, Coach is sitting there looking for jobs in a paper, and he hears about an Invest game. I forgot there was figures last week, too, of somebody. Anyway, he's looking for a job, and he hears about an Invest game, and it turns out it's just Greedon and Kurokage practicing. But then it turns out that it was actually the pastry owner guy who called this so that he could make his debut as Bravo. And he reveals that he took the belt from the Team Red Hot leader because he didn't think they were fabulous enough. And he transforms, and then it ends. So I thought this was a pretty interesting episode. Bravo is definitely an interesting character. It's such an interesting... We haven't really gotten a writer of his type before. Try not to sound offensive. But
be offensive.
I like...
Do it.
I mean, we knew who he was going to be... you know, ahead of time, because we kind of keep up with it. But I think it was kind of interesting, if you didn't keep up with it, that he's kind of a wild card. And, like, if you, like I said, if you didn't keep up with it, you wouldn't see it coming. Like, you just kind of assume that that Red Hot guy was going to become Bravo or whoever the next writer was. And it was kind of a surprise to have it just be some guy that's not involved in all this beat writer stuff. And, yeah, writers and beats.
I liked the episode. I liked watching them just totally turn on Baron. Like, you think they're going to team up, and then he just, like, slashes Baron in the back and is like, fuck you. I also liked how they had to go buy new lock seeds because Team Gaim stole theirs. When they beat him, they're like, oh, these are ours now. Fuck you.
I didn't really expect that. Like, I didn't know they were going to get stolen. I think that's the first I've ever seen them have to rebuy stuff for their belts in a rider show. It's just like us.
I was confused as to why they couldn't steal Baron's.
Yeah, I was wondering about that, because he kind of got defeated, but he got to keep his banana.
Well, you know.
Sorry.
It was a cash grab.
Sorry.
I didn't get it until
so
the second
wrong.
Ago.
Like, you lose seeing your dick cut off. That's a bit extreme.
I did like, though, that while Gaim was arguing with Greedon and Kurokage about what they were doing, Ryugen's just like, well, they have a point.
They have a point. We could take out Baron, like, right fucking now and be done with him. I like how they named themselves. Like, Mikey would hate them. We named ourselves? Okay, I'm Kurokage, and this guy is Greedon. What do I have to be Greedon? Because...
I'm going to have the cool name, and your name is going to be the pun.
Yeah, pretty much. So that was fun. And that the Bravo was definitely interesting. Like, he was really flamboyant in that transformation sequence. I was like, whoa. this is a bit over the top.
In just the transformation sequence, he was flamboyant all throughout the episode.
No, he was extra flamboyant, the transformation sequence. Like, I was like, well, this is different. Let's see, I'm trying to think of what else I wanted to say about it. I like Sid. Sid is just funny to me. I don't know, something about him. Like, the way he sits there and is just like, well, like, good. We guess we're just going to see, who do I give this last one to? Like... We got seven.
It was funny because I was sitting here going, how is Sid going to give the belt to the cake guy? Now we know. He gave it to Punk Kid, and Punk Kid lost it because he wasn't as
fabulous
as Mr. Fabulous.
He lost it because he's a Punk Kid. They're really going for it.
Dangerous. Like, I want the Durian Lockseed just so bad so I can just hear it say Mr. Dangerous, because that's fantastic.
I love how we're really going for seven riders, seven belts that we're testing out, plus Zangetsu makes eight, I guess. But they're really going for the...
I thought it was seven with Zangetsu.
No, we have seven in total.
Yeah.
Wait. Hold on. I'm thinking. I'm trying to count.
Gaim, Ryugen, Baron, and then the three Durian.
Okay, yeah. Rina, seven, sorry, seven total. Yeah. They're going for a lot of like just creation references, aren't we?
Providing none of them like lose their belt, there'll be 10. Once the three energy guys
come. Are they going for 10?
Jesus.
I think they're going for the record.
I love how like Michi just goes in the briefcase and is like what's this doing here? It's like, and he looks around like, I'll just take this one right here. This one looks like fun. Let's put this my hand here. Oh, look, my brother's coming back. Hey, bro. Sup? Why is my hand behind my back? No reason. No reason at all. I just don't even pay attention to that. Just walk away.
I just stole your toy that comes out next week.
How'd you get it early?
Bitch.
How'd you get it early, you little shit?
I know you get the leaked Chinese samples.
Yeah, how hard it is to get shit off
of stolen Chinese people.
You know,
like Kyo has them working for him.
You know how hard it is to get shit off AmiAmi? When they don't put it up ever? Yeah. I'm just stealing yours, bro. Like, oh, thanks, dickhole.
Just to talk about Bravo for a little bit. When he first showed up, I was a little bit mixed on him, just because he is...
So is his gender.
Sure. He is very flamboyant. Like, outrageously so.
More so than Donut Guy.
And
be his brother or sister.
I know that is either really amusing for someone or it's really annoying for someone. Kind of fall somewhere in the middle. It can be funny if it's done well, if you have a really eccentric kind of character. But it can also be really annoying if it's very stereotypical. I think this one falls just a tiny bit on the stereotypical side. It wasn't as amusing as I think they hoped it would be. There were really funny moments. I love the little scoff he has when he finds out that Coda's an Aquarius. But I find myself kind of intrigued by him for other reasons. For starters, he's one of the more capable fighters we've had in a while in Kamen Rider. He was a military officer, which I think is actually really cool.
He's Lieutenant Surge. After the operation.
So I think it's cool having a writer who is capable in combat even before he's a writer. He has this emphasis on combat and the beauty of combat and sort of the significance of it as a form of entertainment, which I actually kind of like. Like you guys were saying, he is kind of a wild card, so if you weren't keeping up with the rumors, it is kind of unexpected to have someone just all of a sudden come in not having anything to do with the whole, like, dance competition thing. I felt like I had more to say, but I don't.
It's okay.
I like how the DJ guy always seems to have one of everybody's lock seat on the table.
He just magically gets it.
That guy is ready.
Where the fuck
are
you getting these things from? Like,
AmiAmi.
I know, he just pulling that shit out of his ass.
That guy is AmiAmi. I think by the end of the series, he should become a rider that's just called Armored Rider, Beat Rider. And it's just a lot of rider in it.
It makes me want to know now how... Like, if there's going to be some kind of a thing for Kurokage and Graiten. Like, a toy. Like, for the face-to-face plate and, like, a DX version of the Donguri and Matsubokuri lock seeds.
It'll have to be a premium set.
don't know. It seems always seems strange to me when stuff like that doesn't get exploited, just because when they make more forms or riders, you think a part of it, obviously, is to sell more toys, and when they don't make the toys. It's the same thing with, like, the Spirit Rangers, which I was thinking about yesterday. If it was here, they would definitely get figures, and then I was trying to figure out why Japan hasn't adopted the smaller price point figures. I mean, they have, like, the arm change things, but that's not like our $8 figures here. It's a whole other issue, but... I don't know, I just don't understand why they introduce things to not milk them.
Like, because it just seems weird because, like, you know, we did first quarter toy stuff, and we have everything for, like, Gaim and Regen and Baron, and you're like, oh, okay, well, I guess Greiton is going to be quarter two. And as it is, like, Zangetsu's faceplate is a promotional item, and you're like, okay, whatever. It's easy to get, and you can still get it for, like, $15 on Mandarake. Like, just if you really want it that badly. I'm like, okay. And you're like, oh, well, guess quarter two's Greiton. And then quarter two scans come out. And it's like, okay, well, here's movie things. You're like, all right. And then here's Genesis Driver. And then all the Energy Lock seeds. But then the arms change figures for Greiton and Kurokage. But, like, no DX Lock seeds for them. No face plates. Like, nothing. Like, what the fuck? Like, why are you not doing that? Like it just seems weird.
Basically, they figure that they're not going to be popular enough with kids, so they don't bother.
Did we ever... I think I brought this up before, and I can't remember the reason we settled on, but why Greiton was put in all the promotional material, like in the early promotion... Jesus Christ!
Sorry, I need a new chair really bad.
Sorry. But there's a reason he was in all the early promotional material, and like the posters, and like the show, and nobody else... was introduced around the same time as him because he's being introduced to Kurokage, obviously. I don't know why noises amuse me. I'm such a child. But did we ever... I remember bringing it up when you guys had some sort of reason or something, and I was just curious why he was put up there with everybody else, and then, you know...
I mean, I've got no idea. I mean, at the time, we thought that'd be all the riders, and then we got things like Kurokage... and Bravo.
We thought were
going to be forms of Greedon, and then turns out they're actually riders. But I honestly have no clue whatsoever, because he's featured on the promo material, but then he's not featured in the opening.
Yeah, so I don't know. That's why I was wondering why they chose that.
I honestly can't really say. I don't know. A part of me wants to say that they really wanted to pump the fact that there was going to be multiple riders.
An Acorn Rider.
Hey, here's five. But, I mean, at that sense, if you knew how many you were going to have, why not have Kurokage and Bravo there?
Yeah.
So, I'm sure there was a reason. I just don't know what it is.
I'm just kind of curious. Back when we thought he was a coconut.
I know the writer said that fans of older Heisei will grow to really like Greedon. I don't know why, but
yeah, I'm not sure why yet either.
I like his suit.
I'm hoping we find out. I do like his suit. I like Kurokage's actually. Like, I like Greedon's shoulder, the shoulder armor, something like just some like I just think it looks kind of neat.
And there's but no
really like sorry. Really like Kurokage.
There's no arms change announced for Bravo, and it makes me upset.
I know.
As grotesque and creepy as it is, I love Bravo's design a lot.
I want to see those creepy arms on the other rider faces.
Hell yeah. I want to see the other arms on Bravo's base, because Bravo's base is like lime green and purple. It's fantastic. I want to see these things, and they won't let me do it because they don't have a toy.
Why can't I?
I mean, I guess there's always quarter three, but
that's in the quarter three is usually like all the power ups, like your final form and everything.
Because we still need an arms change for Bravo and the three energy guys.
Yeah,
energy.
Unless the energy arms don't switch around, which would kind of defeat the purpose of the arms change. So. Ignore that idea. I don't know.
Well, you do have figures like Beast Hyper that just his gimmick is being lame.
That's true.
He didn't have a wizard axe.
Seriously, everybody had something. You got dragon parts, light up parts, you got a whole chimera, and his power was nothing. like as if the figures have powers. But seriously. Oh, they could have done something.
I don't know.
Oh, I gotta get my jingle ready.
But like, I'm shaping up to be really enjoyable.
Yeah, I've been really enjoying it every week.
I'm definitely, like, loving this show.
Ba-da-ba-ba-ba.
More than, even, you know, and I liked Wizard. I'm liking this show even more than I liked Wizard. And, like, I wasn't sure I would because I liked the little silly dance thing. But I'm really enjoying it. Like, I'm looking forward to it every week. Just as much, if not more, than I do Kyoryuger. And that's saying something because I love Kyoryuger a lot. It's fucking dinosaurs.
Apparently they said that the dance thing will dwindle as the show progresses.
Just kind of to get it started.
I kind of figured it would. It's just mostly there to set everything up. And
It was something like, about the growth of the characters and finding their own paths or something like that.
Yeah.
Okay. So now it's time for Mega Force Summaries for Shoot. Almost. I took too long.
Sorry. I was trying to time it perfectly. One of these days, we'll get it.
One of these days.
Like, you're like, summary, Meg, gah. Well, there goes that.
I'm distracted watching a drunk Optobonimus on Twitter. That's the thing.
Aerosol's gone.
Where'd he go?
Hello?
He went down to the pub.
He did say he was having internet problems.
Yeah, that's right.
He doesn't watch I've been having that.
That's true.
I've been having it every time we fucking turn the PS3 on. And the PS3 on, band. My internet drops.
the PS4 does the same thing.
Does
like it? A tattletale.
We moved the PS3 out into the living room today. In preparation for me to eventually get a PS4.
It's an early preparation.
Yeah. She just really wanted to play Assassin's Creed in the living room. Anyway. So episode 18, Human Condition. Melkor is up there going power, unlimited power, and
that's minutes, unlimited
limited minutes.
Oh, I love that bit.
That's about all that happens up there.
His genitals were burned off on Mustafa.
And I wrote stupid children. I don't remember why I wrote stupid children, but there was children there, and they were stupid.
Children are stupid.
So Robo Knight's going around asking the Rangers questions, except the Rangers are all like exercising or playing soccer or whatever they're doing. I don't know. It's like, why do people cry? And Troy's like, because
do you see any tears?
Because love. What is love? And I'm like, baby, don't hurt me. And so eventually it leads
that's
him,
what I thought too.
it eventually leads him to Jake, who is playing soccer. And he stares at Jake and goes, there's nothing I can learn from him. And he walks away.
He realized that as soon as he saw him playing soccer. There's nothing I can learn from him. Look what he's doing.
That was pretty hilarious.
So we end up at Noah, and Noah tells him to basically go read up on emotions in humanity because people wrote about that. And he's like, library. So he goes to library. I have this like feeling that he was like really depressed because no one wanted to fucking talk to him. I felt really bad for him. Like, dude, if you had a Robo Knight, you would talk to him all day because he's a Robo Knight.
Totally.
But anyway, so Malcor's up there going, it's time to do something, and so scene changes and Robo Knight is reading. He goes to the library. He turns in his morpher because there's no cell phones. And apparently people don't pay attention to the heroes that are saving the city because they're all fucking afraid of him. And I'm like, he's been saving your ass for like 10 episodes now, which is like a decent span of time in this universe. So you'd kind of know by now that he's a good guy, robot.
All those
thing.
People have failed this city.
But no, everyone's like scared shitless, and so he empties the entire library because everyone's afraid of him, except for this lone black kid. But we'll get back to him. I got ahead of myself. So anyway, destruction is fun. Jake's an idiot. They get owned. They're like, oh, call Robo Knight, and so they call Robo Knight. His phone vibrates, and it's really fucking loud. It rings too. We didn't even put it on silent, so Robo Knight's a fucking failure. But he misses the phone call because he's too busy reading on the other side of the library, and he can't hear it, even though the library is like quiet as all hell. But he hears music, and he looks over, and there's just this lone black kid laying there, listening to music and reading.
It didn't sound like he was dead for a second. Oh, crap, a dead street youth.
So the Rangers keep getting owned. Meanwhile, the kid introduces Robo Knight to music. And so Robo Knight learns how to be street. Ghost is finally like, oh, you can use cards again, because apparently they were blocked, so they couldn't use any cards, so that's why they were just getting owned.
It wasn't in their 4G coverage.
He did something, and they could use cards again. But they get owned by the power of planets. That's the thing. So Malcor begins disintegrating the world. He just, like, takes trains and power lines and shit. He's just like, this is mine, bitch. So Vrock's up there in the spaceship going, I'll beam you somewhere else so they can explain scene changes. So now they get warped to, like, a destroyed factory setting, and they get owned by planets and more. Love and determination will help them and stuff. Meanwhile, at the school, Mr. Burley has a telescope, and he's looking up at the war starship. He's like, oh my god, it's coming right for us. And so there's more love and determination. There's Zombats. Melkor eats a Zombat. It's kind of gross. He's like, Vrock, send the
ship. You wanted to
down.
Be Aussie.
So Vrock basically suicide bombs like the ship toward Earth. They form Gosei Great Megazord. The Zords get owned. So Naked Gosei Great gets owned. That's a new form right there. Naked Gosei Great.
That's how I display mine now.
He's like, oh no, we're all weak and shit. And he's like, let's fuse our cards into one super card.
Sounds like a brilliant play.
So apparently this works, and it makes a giant Gosei Dragon card, and all the Zords come back. And so they form Ultra Gosei Great, which we haven't seen since it debuted. That was fun. And they're like, oh, we'll fight you now. And they like blast him and shit, and Malcor gets sent into the spaceship, and everything explodes and dies while the samurai theme plays in the background.
Rangers together, they're samurai.
I'm like, they won't let this thing go, will they?
Nope. Okay, samurai's forever, okay?
And so they finally get to the library, and Robo Knight's walking out. He's like, what have you been up to? And they're like, oh, I was just saving the world, and like, the Earth was in danger, and they're like, we protected it because we're awesome. And Robo Knight's like, check out what I learned. And he
I'm gonna lay down some fat beats.
And he ends his rap with Word, and I was thoroughly impressed, and then it ended. So in a nutshell, this was the most fantastic episode of Megaforce I've ever watched, ever. And all Power Rangers should be like this episode. Seriously, though, if you're gonna write... And who am I kidding? They don't rate the show. If you're gonna poop the show the way that they poop it, and make this like this weird cheese fest, go fucking all out and do shit like this. You got a fucking robot over here learning how to be street from a black kid who learns how to be the next Eminem. So really, this was like a perfect example of what the show needs to be in order to be kind of tolerable. Because I honestly thought it wasn't bad. You had the action going on, and you had the cheese going on.
And Brian loves some cheese.
I think it worked because it was kind of balanced enough. And honestly, the the cheese bit here with Robo Knight learning how to be street was probably the most absurd concept I've ever heard in my life. And that's why I was interested in it. Because I'm sitting here going, how do you teach a robot like Robo Knight, who just learned to accept humanity, how to fucking be street? Personally, I would have just showed him Nate's vlogs over and over again. But the kid did a decent job. But seriously, like, this episode as a whole was so absurd in the subplot and absurd in the way it was made that it's just completely ridiculous. Like, this is fucking Ghost Sager, like, episode 13 or something.
Yeah, it's our finale. One of our finale episodes.
My biggest gripe is the fact that they don't mention Super or Ultra Mode at all.
Yeah.
Like, not even a, oh, I wish we could go Ultra Mode. They didn't even mention the fact they can't use cards.
What was annoying...
I know, and I was confused.
...was that they filmed a couple original fight scenes.
Yeah.
And they could have filmed an Ultra Mode scene. Several people said it. Just film an Ultra Mode scene and have them get knocked out of it. And that's all the explanation you really need, because that shit happens all the time in PR. And, it, like, does it cost extra money to have them wear it? Like, do they have to pay the suit actors, like, an extra 50 cents an hour, like, per ounce that they have to wear? Like, I don't get it. It was really stupid. But other than that, I really enjoyed the episode. It was
I loved
a good
everything Robo and I did. It was fantastic.
Sort of finale to Malcor's thing. Because I always kind of dug the idea of leaving him in that conflict as sort of their main conflict, even though he kind of disappeared, like, Flurious style. But the Robo Knight stuff was great. Like, it was really cheesy and funny, but I like that it was actually funny and not, like, stupid PR, like, oh my god, a cake fell on my face funny. That's not funny. And that it was legit funny. Like, I love that he turned in his phone because he couldn't have it, but it was his morpher. And it's even funnier because he's a robot and he doesn't understand. And it was just a bunch of great scenes that were really entertaining. And I saw people really upset that that was how they got Ghostly Knight out of the footage. And I thought it was a great way to do it.
It beats, like, fucking Tommy back in MMPR season 1 going, oh, I forgot my communicator in my bag. I'm such an idiot, derp.
Like, see, with the Ultra Mode, you could have explained it, you know, with them getting powered out of it. But with Robo Knight, what is he going to get knocked out? So it makes more sense to somehow remove him from it. I thought it was funny when he was going around to everyone asking him about it. Like, asking Troy about tears. And you hear Troy, do you see any tears? No, I'm just asking about, do you see any tears? All right, fine, I'm moving on. Just stop saying that line. Ask Emma about it.
Go ask a girl. She knows about tears.
That made it sound like he makes her cry a lot or something. So I thought that
I can hear the comments on that one. Man, you see how sexist that is? Just because she's a girl, he just assumes she knows more about tears than he does.
And I also saw a lot of people complaining about the rap scene at the end that I thought was pretty funny. And they're like, oh my god, they're destroying Ghost Sager. I mean, Ghost Sager really didn't leave you with much. In a lot of ways, I kind of like Robo Knight better than Ghost Knight.
Yeah. Robo Knight's provided a lot of entertainment for this show. He really has. And I think Robo Knight, the way they portray Robo Knight, ends up making the story that they adapted from Ghost Knight's story work a little more.
I thought it was actually a little more interesting, because Ghost Knight just was a dick almost all the way through, but Robo Knight, because of the way it was counted, came around a lot quicker. And I just thought the whole robot trying to understand things was a lot more entertaining, both funny-wise and character-wise.
But, I mean, like I said, it had good action. It had, like, a cheese factor that I absolutely adored. And, like, I honestly think this was probably one of my favorite episodes just because of how absurd it was.
Yeah, I really liked it. And next week is our last real episode. And then the Christmas title episode is a title I totally could have used. It was like The Robo Knight Before Christmas. I'm like, yeah, oh, hell no.
That was like one of your titles. Like,
I know. I could totally see me using that. Huh? Oh, well. But, next week's like the last real episode.
No, we've got the finale, too.
Wait, I thought next week was the finale.
Is it?
I thought it was. Because I thought this was 19.
Is this 19? I don't know. Let me go to Wikipedia. I don't know anymore.
Wikipedia.
Wikipedia. They just always have wicker baskets.
Yeah, because episode 20, The Messenger, tomorrow.
Okay.
Because I thought, see, you know what I would have liked is I think they should have taken like a week or so off, a random break.
And no, Endgame is episode 20.
My DVR showing it
19 is The Messenger, because it counted the Raising Spirits.
Oh, so there's Messenger and then Endgame.
Yeah.
So they're going to be airing it in December. See, if I were them, like I was just trying to say, they should have taken a week or something off and then aired the Christmas special before, because the narrative is always so strange, especially now with the way we know the finale is going to end, to have them just randomly in a Christmas episode. So, I don't know. That's what I would have done, is just aired the Christmas episode first and just stretched it out so it aired in December and then aired the finale so it doesn't seem so awkward.
I would have just aired the Christmas episode around Christmas.
I would have just aired the Christmas episode in July. Just got it out of the way.
I would have not made the Christmas episode.
Yeah, that's what I would have done. Just add a regular episode in. They really should do that. I would rather them get rid of the Halloween and Christmas specials and just make normal episodes.
I would have made the Christmas special where they go around and round up every copy of Alpha's Magical Christmas and then burn them all in a bonfire.
All right, so there's two more weeks. I kept thinking it was going to end this week.
I still have a job for 3 weeks.
And then there's the hiatus. They'll have to play the Megaforce theme, and I'll just have to keep yelling super over it, because I don't think we're going to get a new theme song.
It'd be a nice change of pace to get something that's not MMPR.
Yeah, it really would.
I'm not expecting it, but...
I mean, they just quit life if whatever the GoBusters adaptation's called gets another MMPR remix. It's like, come on!
Because at that point, the ship needs to sink.
Yeah, the ship needs to sink.
GoBusters is fucking over here.
I mean, I know it says let's morphin, but still, come on now.
Now, if GoBusters runs for 2 years, we're done.
The ship sinks.
Just quit.
All right.
Just quit and go away.
Unless they turn into the Courageurs.
Like, how would that even work?
I don't know. It'd be funny, though. They should just do that all the time. And then the Tokyojers turn into the whatever the hell's after that. It's so crazy to think, like, by the time we'll get to GoBusters, we'll be so far in the future by then. Like, we'll know it's after Tokyojer.
Like I said, when we adapt... If GoBusters runs for 2 years, when we adapt, I think the second half of GoBusters is what I think the math ended up being. Or it might have been even the first year. I don't remember. GoBusters is 36. We would be 4 years behind. Because we would... Well, no, it's when it starts. Because... no, it's not. No, we're on 37. Tokyojer's 38. So, Tokyojer and Super Megaforce are going to air together. That's, So that's 35 and 38. And then when GoBusters starts, 39 will be airing. So we'll have 36 and 39. If GoBusters runs for 2 years, the second year of GoBusters...
It'll be 36 and 40.
It'll be 36 and 40.
Jesus.
That's what I'm talking about. When you would be so behind in Sentai that you can't work. Their only alternative is to make a 20-episode series. And Megaforce has proven that that's an awful, awful idea.
Well, I mean, it could be a good idea in the hands of competent writers. Because there's plenty of shows, you know, children's shows and cartoons and whatnot that tell a season-long arc within 20 to 22 episodes.
I think it's perfectly doable if you have, like you said, competent writers.
Well, that's the first thing you're going to do, and that requires being willing to pay people, and you know, yeah. Saban isn't.
They already fired, like, the writers here are, like, a little bit of a step up over Samurai, and they fired them. Like, we can't even get that. Like, it's not like the Megaforce writers are the greatest thing in the world, but they made some obvious little improvements that I appreciated, but they couldn't even stick around.
Nope.
Like, I don't know, it's just, it's so complicated and stupid. Because if you do a 20-episode show, which is, like you said, doable. I mean, Korra told an absolutely fantastic story in 14 episodes.
Both
so
seasons.
It's definitely doable, but they need to look at the footage and possibly write their own original story using this footage to make it work for 20 episodes. Because with Megaforce, all they really did was change a couple things around and massively condense Ghost Ager and made a really rushed show. If they get to Kyoryuger, the same thing would happen. Is that we would be introduced to a new dinosaur and a new ranger every episode. And then we'd have an end finale arc, and then the show would be over. And in 20 episodes in a show like this, it's hard to really get a grasp of the characters.
Yeah.
Not that that's really a big deal in a show like PR, at least the way that they do it now. So there's just so many complications with the whole 20 episodes thing. 30 and 32 worked great. There was enough show there to get your story across, to introduce all the toys, and it worked a lot better.
Yeah, it really did.
Then 20 is just, it's not enough for a show like this. You have to prepare it as such, and they didn't for Megaforce. So, but they kind of, I feel Megaforce was just more or less a big merchandise whore.
Yeah.
And they're like, oh, these characters are going to be in the next show too, so whatever. Whereas Samurai felt a lot more coherent, because you had the same show running for a total of 40 episodes, which was more than enough.
And they had a stronger story to copy.
Across. Yeah, the story was stronger there too. So,
because we talked about this way back in the early days of the podcast about how sort of barren Ghost Ager was for Power Rangers adaptation. Like, so they could do anything with it because there's not really much there. And they really didn't do much with it.
No, they changed Brigilla.
Brigilla?
Because I always want to say, like, Brazilla, because it's like Godzilla, but it's Brigira because it's Japanese.
Brigira.
But anyway, they changed him around to eventually tie into the Zangyak, which is a good thing. They did that.
Yeah, I thought
good.
That was neat.
That's the biggest praise I have for them, that they tied that together really well. Outside of that, they made some really questionable changes, like keeping Melkor alive. There was no reason he really needed to be alive. He didn't do anything.
I think if they would have come up with some original footage, original story, it could have been more worth it, because he was like the main threat why the Rangers were called.
I mean, it'll help once I see the episodes, but turning Vrak into a cyborg, outside of footage reasons, there's no real pivotal story reason for them to do what they did.
Well, because didn't he blow up in this episode, so he's got to be all fixed.
Yeah, he died in the spaceship explosion. Alice saves him, turns him into a robot. Which was just fine. I don't mind that they did it. But if I remember, I read the spoilers correctly.
Does he survive the finale?
I thought he did. I don't remember.
I hope he does.
I only read it. I read the quick summaries that people post on Ranger Crew once, and I don't fully remember it. But basically, I think they just needed a way to make Rock not in Super Megaforce, really. So they went this robot way, and I remember reading that Alice like rescues him again and like says that, or it might have been the messenger guy, Robogog. I don't remember which one it was, but it says something like that Vecker isn't gonna recognize him as a robot, and that he'll probably get killed during the invasion, so that he needs to go hide or something. I don't remember, but we'll see when it actually airs. So this is all kind of stupid talk, but
like, see, they had such a good setup there for, because they're clearly going to just basically adapt Gokaiger and just do it, you know, paint by numbers again. But they have such an opportunity to merge the two shows next year, because there's tons of Ghost Ager footage they haven't used, especially from the last arc.
If
so they
I remember
easily...
correctly, Megaforce is ending without using an ounce of Bajira footage. Outside of that small clip in the opening.
In the opening, yeah. And, like, there's so much there that they could do a really neat storyline with, you know, Vrak's brother coming in and taking over with the Zangek, and then, you know, Vrak wanting to... sort of like a rivalry between the brothers to see who could take the planet, and they could mix and match Gokaiger footage when they're fighting Zangek, and then use the Ghost Ager footage from the later arc to fight Bajira and, like, the Mantarintis and whatnot, and still keep both Zords around and actually utilize the fact that the Ghost Ager suits are still around, because otherwise it sounds like we're just going to see the Ghost Ager suits for like 3 seconds every episode.
But
there was some really great opportunities for merging of the two, because I would have loved to have seen like a cyborg Vrak running around trying to prove himself worthy of the crown throughout Super Megaforce, but instead it's going to basically sweep everything under the rug, because they got a really neat setup, and if they had competent writers, I would actually be really excited to see that. Because I'm like, how are they going to explain them not using the other Zords? Are they going to film a fight scene of their heads falling off like they did with the Thunder Zords? I don't think so. That would cost them upwards of $20.
They'll randomly use that one shot from the 199 Heroes movie of Ghost Ager 8 destroyed.
Yeah, I guess so.
They'll use that one singular shot and just like still frame it.
That was another thing, is that they didn't have any explanation of why they wouldn't use Ghostly Ultimate Megazord, but I just kind of made up in my head that they didn't want to use it because it's Ghostly's house and it was too dangerous. Ghostly's like, whoa, this is my crib. You ain't taking this to the field again? This is be dangerous. If this planet goes, I'm going back to Eltar.
It's Ghostly's house.
Yeah, that's where he lives. You know, he said in the beginning that he took that form to be more familiar to humans. I wonder what Gosei really looks like. What if he's like one of Larigo's people?
Oh my god, that'd be...
he is Larigo. He just comes out... ends up scaring Jake, drops his ice cream again. Son of a bitch!
I don't know.
See, that's another interesting thing. I want to know more about Gosei. But no, he just kind of sits there and randomly will give instructions. There's so much potential with it.
Yeah, that's the problem.
PR has such a crazy-ass universe that they could use for this season in particular. Explain why you hit the snooze button for all these years, Gosei. I suppose if the planet was protected, there was really no need for him to recruit anybody. I guess this time everyone else hit the snooze button when Malkor arrived. Oh, fuck, somebody else take this one.
It's like when I'm trying to sleep and the dog wants to go out. I just lay there and hope she'll do it, and she never does.
It's the climax of the movie, Bella. I can't. Wait, how many minutes?
The climax. We still got 17 minutes. There's 17 minutes left of this incredibly long movie about a bunch of stupid people fighting each other.
But, yeah. Next few episodes should be interesting.
Yep.
Megaforce.
Power Rangers Super Megaforce.
That's pretty good. Super.
Because now it's time for Rambo time.
You held that time for quite a while.
I didn't know that was quite a while.
Well, in my terms. Terms? Okay. I was going to say book, and then terms came out.
I know terms.
I know terms. Okay, so first, clearly the big event of the week, Pokemon. Brian, what was it about? This is a test. I know what it was about. I'm just making sure you know.
It was...
about battling. So. It's about you. It's about me. It's about hope. And it's about dreams. Oh, seriously, though. What
was Ash said it? It was the Emolga one.
Oh, yeah!
You even tweeted about it.
Yeah, because I thought that Emolga actually would have been a good Team Rocket Pokemon, because it's got more personality than all of their Unova Pokemon, and it could have trolled Ash's team. Because right now, it's just kind of the dick of the whole group. Because usually Snivy's just kind of bitch-slapping it around, which I enjoy. But yeah, I thought that the Emolga could have been a good fit.
Like, it was... Like,
take a minute to collect yourself. You should say it was like a weird cow moo. It was like a diseased cow mooing.
Like, I literally just sat there going, why is this a thing?
Emolga or just the episode?
The episode.
The season.
And that too. Like, I don't get it. Like, I don't think it was necessarily horrible, but it was predictable.
Yeah.
They've done this stupid plot so many times.
Yeah.
And you know Emolga's just a giant troll anyway.
Yeah, the only thing I really took away from it was, you know, Emolga should have been Team Rocket's Pokemon. Because they're, except for Meowth, which is always there, their Pokemon team up, or team in Unova, is pretty lackluster. Like, they don't have, usually they have pretty distinct personalities, or they're memorable.
They're just kind of tools, really.
Like, Emolga seems like it's tense, just like, Among Us just shows up for the office. Your mask just sitting over there being Kevin. No storyline about how it used to be a person. It's so creepy. But on the other side of things, I haven't gotten to watch 2 or 3 yet, but the dub of Origins came out, and I like pretty much all the voices.
Yeah, I haven't watched 2 or 3 yet either, but completely agree. Johnny Young Bosch is Brock. That's new.
Yeah. That seemed to actually work pretty well. It took me a minute to not hear him as Adam, because he only has, like, Adam and then Stern Johnny Young Bosch as his two voices, which is essentially Adam from Once a Ranger, because he just, like, made his voice deeper. Team Rocket. What's his name? Professor Oaks took some getting used to.
Yeah, because, that was, I think that was Kyle Hebert, I think.
And,
a lot of stuff.
I kind of wished it was more in line with his original one, just because... I've been so long hearing him like that, and it was so deep. Like, you did not expect that. It's like, Professor Oak grew some balls.
I did not expect that out of you, Professor Oak.
But I thought Blue's voice was pretty good, and Red's was pretty good. I'm trying to think if there's anybody else that was really even known. But I thought a lot of people, I said those annoying comments like, pales in comparison to the Japanese dub. I'm like, really? Japanese people have like three voices. There's girl, there's guy one, and guy two. I'm sorry. I think we have more variety here. I'm just saying.
Well, there's always going to be more variety in your native language.
Well, our native language is better.
Okay.
America. Well, just... I hate people that are like that. Like, there's cases like 5Ds where I'm not, like, a purist about it, but I just prefer it, the Japanese version voices, but I hate when people immediately attack it, because they don't sound like the Japanese versions, which would sound kind of weird sometimes if you were to, like, somehow find the American component to that voice, especially for Dragon Ball. Can you imagine?
Man.
So, just people are really annoying about that. I thought it was superior because it took out the Charmander scream, which scarred me for life.
Yeah, it did do that.
Really?
Yeah. It was all sad. I liked the torture.
Well, I just don't see the need to take it out.
It was like a very small like scream at the beginning, but it took out like the continuous screaming. I don't think anything else was changed, but yeah, I'll probably watch the other two in the next couple of days, but they did a good job on the voices. Pokemon. So, speaking of Pokemon, Ben 10?
Okay.
Okay, unless... Did I skip something?
No.
Oh, okay, unless there's something else to say.
No, it's just a funny segue.
Well, that's the bit.
Yeah, I know that's the bit.
You're the bit. That didn't make any sense. So this week's episode was fun.
Ultimate Albedo is MODOK.
Yes! I see. I'm like, dude! except I couldn't remember the name right off the top of my head. I was like, dude, it's that thing from Marvel and the giant head.
It also, for some reason, even though it doesn't look quite like it, kind of reminded me of Evil Sheen when he got his giant brain. Anytime there's a giant brain, I'm like, Evil Sheen! I don't know why I didn't think about that happening, because back when I used to follow Derek White's Ask or whatever, someone asked him if they brought Ultimates back, which one would he want to see, and he said he wanted to see Grey Matter because it's his favorite, and I thought it was kind of neat that we got one we'd never seen before. I kind of hope that happens with more of them, but that makes the most sense because of him, you know, being a Galvan. Mm-hmm. I wonder if they'll keep him like that now, or he'll probably get cursed back into Ben's body, because that's kind of his bit, as he's Ben's rival. And it was neat seeing all the variations of the Ultimate forms and pretty much what they would look like in Ultimate Alien. They're probably a little paler, because you notice that a lot of Albedo's transformations were like paler versions.
Yeah.
But still kind of neat.
I like Ultimate Spider Monkey better.
Yeah, I thought it was. It made more sense. It made more sense than him growing like actual spider arms, as opposed to just like sort of more naturally evolving.
Yeah.
Humongousaur looked pretty evil.
He looked roided out.
And what was the other one? Ultimate Echo looked. He didn't look that different. It looked a little more just stylized. Did he do anybody else? I don't think so.
No, I don't think so.
He didn't do Swampert. Swampfire. What?
I have trains now.
No, but I love that you're excited about it.
I heard him, and I was like, oh my god, I'm one step closer to being aerosol.
You sounded like a little kid interrupting us talking. Like, does anybody want to see my train collection? I got the red one.
I heard it, and I got excited.
There it goes. Speaking of Ultimate Echo, this is our podcast. Interrupt for trains, then Brian just makes noises. Here, this is what they sound like.
Sound like a goat.
It's a goat train.
Oh, my God. Know. You don't know its life.
It felt like it had been quite a while since we had seen Kyber.
That is because it's true.
Yeah. I almost kind of forgot about it. It's funny because I have like three toys of him that I will most likely see at least several times a week when I glance at them, and I just forget about the guy. Because I forgot that he escaped. I think the other people involved were still kidnapped, in custody. Evil, Brainstorm, and wasn't there another one?
Malware?
Oh yeah, Malware dead. Yeah, I remember he escaped, so it should be interesting to see him back with Albedo and Ultimate Grey Matter. Oh. And I like that they kept his powers the same as it was, as he just could kind of go at will. And that little device was like a stabilizer, which but now has turned into a little, it's like a hand-mounted Omnitrix thingy. So that was neat. I feel like for this episode, they should have not promoted it to make it... I think it would have been pretty obvious from the beginning with how Ben was acting, but there was, like, no point in, the beginning where you thought it was Ben because of how heavily they promoted this episode as being, like, the return of Albedo, so you pretty much could guess. I don't know, I just thought it was kind of funny.
It is funny that he's almost the more competent Ben than Ben is.
Yeah, well, he is a Galvan who loves chili fries. How do you order? He's like extra disgusting with more onions. I'm trying to think if there's anything else to say other than it was enjoyable and there was Ultimate Aliens. And how did Ben escape? I forgot. Oh yeah, he had his nanomech. I forgot about that. And Blue Kitchen Dreamer were there and they served food. But yeah, it was a fun episode.
Food, that was fun.
It was a good episode, I liked it.
Did you know?
Did you know? I don't know why I heard that. I listened to the Frontier theme song today, and it was pretty epic. True story.
TMNT then?
Yeah. So, shit, I forgot what it was about. Oh yeah, Rezar.
It was funny, because this was just one of those things where you're led to believe that it's going to be very fillerish, and then it's not. This happens a lot in this show. And I love that. Everything matters.
Oh man, there's some funny lines I wanted to remember. Oh no, wait. That was Raising Hope. Never mind. I remember specifically trying to remember funny lines from something, but it wasn't TMNT. But this was the episode where Mikey got pimples, right?
Yes.
Okay, good. For some reason, I thought that they were two separate episodes, and I merged them.
This was okay.
I like Razor's design.
It was way more filler than it was anything significant. It was surprising to see Razor show up at the end, and he is cool. But for the most part, I mean, it was just an okay episode.
There, whose train was that? Sorry.
That was mine.
I love how sad Brian was, and Aerosol claimed it proudly, like, don't we dare take credit for that beautiful sound.
Well, mine's the murder train, so.
Yeah.
I don't think you want it.
Dirty skin. It sounds haunted.
His trains are so much louder than mine.
It's lots of trains.
Which makes sense, given the fact that I'm not loud.
What?
So anyway, now we need Fish Face to turn into Toka.
Ultimate Fish Face.
And then the circle will be complete. Nope, okay.
Circle of what?
Because we have Razor. So okay. We need the other one. Now, I don't know how a fish would turn into like a weird like snapping turtle, but...
I didn't even know. Like, I don't know anything about it, so I didn't even know he was going to have a second mutation.
They were from the live-action movies.
Oh.
Toka and Razor.
Oh, the ones from the one that Nate's Vlogs did?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. I haven't seen those movies in forever, outside of watching the Nate's Vlogs thing. Man, we are behind on those guys. What happened?
He was gone for like 2 months, and we still never caught up.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Where did he go?
He upgraded to Mavericks and, like, bricked his Mac.
Oh. So I didn't even know that, so the more you know. Let's see. Other than Korra, was there anything else on this weekend that I'm forgetting about? Because I feel like I always forget about stuff, and then I get attacked for it.
No.
I really don't think so.
No? Okay, I'm just making sure. So Korra?
Yep.
Four episodes.
Yeah.
Finale blitz.
Okay, so I'm trying to remember the first two. The first one was where Bolin, like, saved everyone, right?
Yeah.
One of them. And then what was the other one? Because it all kind of, even though I separated them on purpose so that they would stick out, I can't remember the other one other than everyone getting together. What happened in that one? Because I think the end of the Bolin episode, everyone kind of reunited because Korra and Team Tenzin arrived.
I know they got a battleship from Varric.
Oh yeah, and they went to go to the portal, and they attacked from the sky, and then they got it.
Boomy took out the entire squad by himself.
Yeah.
Oh my god, I love Boomy.
But yeah, those were two good episodes too. Before the finale, I really liked Bolin's episode, just because I liked him battling the bad guys in the ring, and that dude narrating it to nobody. I thought that was hilarious. He's like, normally that would be an illegal move. And the guy's like, dude, I don't care. He's like, what am I supposed to do with this voice? So I thought that was really cool. Because I feel like we haven't gotten to see Bolin do much fighting this season. Because he's kind of just been, you know, like, oh, hey, I'm Nuk-Tuk.
Yeah, he's been mostly comic relief this season. Kind of a... Well, I haven't found him annoying, but he's been annoying to the characters.
Yeah. I thought he was kind of a dick when he didn't believe Mako.
He's been completely a dick, but he's a funny dick.
Like, I thought
that's
in general,
the best kind of dick.
Not anybody believing Mako, I thought, was a little bit out of character. Because it's not like he's just some guy that comes in and like, hey, conspiracy. I think I mentioned that before. So.
I will say that it is kind of sad to see that Mako couldn't prove himself innocent.
Yeah.
It ended up falling on to Bolin and everyone else while Mako just sat in jail. It's like, well, this was kind of Mako's storyline, and he didn't get to finish it.
Oh, wow.
But yeah, Bolin's battle was pretty awesome. Like you said, you kind of forget that he can fight.
Yeah, me too, because I kept thinking, oh great, he's going to mess up somehow, but I forgot that he's, despite his personality, he's a very competent fighter. Trying to think what I forgot to, I don't know if I mentioned it at all when we've been discussing the season, but I love that they're called movers. I feel like it's some sort of alternate universe where they couldn't think of the word movies, and it cracks me up. when Asami followed him out, she's like, man, that mover really upset you, and I'm like, just love that they call him that. It's hilarious.
I love the scene with Varric where they're talking to him in jail, and he's talking about all of the good that he did, and he's going down the line saying everything good that he did for people. He got Bolin into the movers, and he got Asami her, like, company, and then he reaches Mako at the end, and he's like, I got you locked up in prison.
That wasn't a good thing. But still.
His lordship was named Julie.
Speaking of him, I like that, you know, he was doing bad things, and he was very selfishly motivated and trying to profit from war, but I like that it didn't turn out to be, like, a totally evil guy, and he's still, like, likable. Like, he's still funny, and he's not, like, totally, he didn't turn out to end up being, like, a supervillain, is what I'm trying to say, and, like, that he was somehow working for Cora's uncle or something, or trying to do something super nefarious. He was just kind of a funny guy that was trying to make some money, and I love how he escaped from prison. Julie, do the thing! So I hope to see them return later, just because I found them very entertaining. I still think my favorite moment of him for the whole season was when he was in the platypus bear suit, and she had the tea in there with him. And I thought that was great.
I was happy to see them. I don't want to say escape from jail, because it just kind of like fell into their lap that they could. But I was glad to see that they got out, just because I would like to see them later on in the series at some point.
Yeah.
Because, like you said, he was kind of a bad guy. Well, he did bad things, but he's so funny, and he's so, like, he even, what he said about doing good things was technically true. He made Bolin a star, he helped Asami.
Like, and he helped him out in the end, he gave him a warship.
It was technically leading to a better cause. It just, he was doing it a little underhandedly.
Yeah, because if he would have started that war, that actually would have been a good thing in a way, because they were refusing to help the North, and he was trying to get them to turn on them. So it would have led to good things for him and other people, but obviously it's not a concern anymore, but still. I'm trying to think of things to say about the second episode, other than Cora's like, oh, I don't remember us breaking up, and Mako was really awkward, like, psh, I didn't start banging Asami again, what are you talking about? Like, it was so awkward. And I love how whenever there was an awkward moment, Bolin would, like, scoot into the scene with, like, a really funny expression on his face.
I love Bolin.
I don't remember what it was, but there was some pretty funny stuff he got from that ship that she was like, where the hell did you get all that stuff? He's like, this is a Varric ship. You could find anything here.
That, like, big purple coat.
Yeah. So that was funny. Trying to think of anything else.
It was just kind of nice to see Bumi get a little bit of a spotlight.
Yeah.
Like, no one ever believes his stories, and yet he's not competent, but he is very lucky.
Yeah.
And that kind of has its own charm.
Is there anything else before we get to the final two? Because the second one sort of led into it, because, you know, they're at the portal and whatnot. In portals, there's a bunch of crazy evil bats around them. Spirit thingies. That's all I have to say.
Yeah, I really don't remember too much from that episode.
Yeah, because that was more of a setup than the previous one, because the other one kind of stood out because it was largely Bolin focused. But yeah, so for the final episodes, you know, shit hit the fan and Vatu got out. And I really enjoyed the bending fight between him and Unalaq, or her and Unalaq, once he got super Dark Avatar powers. I thought it was really well choreographed, and the music was awesome, and it was really...
just kind of flying around like the Air Captain Planet.
It was really vicious. And he almost, like, smushed her in a crevice. That was, like, that would be terrifying. but I thought that was a really well-done fight, and it was, like, really kind of an epic moment when she came out of the crevice with her Rava eyes on, and, you know, I kind of assumed that... I wasn't sure if the Dark Avatar thing was going to happen, but I was pretty confident that he was going to get out. I didn't think they were just going to seal him and then game over. So I knew something was going to go down. And honestly, I was a little bit surprised the Dark Avatar, Dark Aardvark happened. Because
Dark Arthur.
Part of me felt that Vatu was going to betray Unalaq and be like, we haven't known that character that long, but it just seemed like he wouldn't be the type of person that would want to share power. But I don't know. I thought there was going to be some sort of like Bagramon twist where everyone just kept stabbing each other. And I thought that like either he was not going to merge or somehow completely take over Unalaq. I don't know. I just thought there was going to be something there. I was kind of surprised he was all in for it. But on the other hand, he's been monitoring the Avatar because he's obviously aware of Korra. So maybe he was very intrigued by having that extra power.
He was in that tree.
Yes, he was in the tree.
Well, no, the tree is the whole reason Korra got the rest of her memories back and was able to...
She's able to see everything.
She can see through time.
And space. So maybe that's why he did it, because he was intrigued by the power that...
He was intrigued.
What? Oh, I get it. Took me a minute. It was like that intense thing. Remember that? That took me like a couple days to get. But that's probably why, I guess, because he was intrigued by, you know, getting bending powers, I suppose. Although Unalaq obviously could only offer water powers. Which, I'm glad that he didn't suddenly have all four elements, because that wouldn't have made any sense. He just got purple water. This is the even more powerful purple water. You know how the hottest flame is blue? Coldest water's purple. Didn't make any sense, but... I like that didn't change. But yeah, the fight was really intense. It was kind of a sort of dramatic moment when Rava just got pulled out of her.
Yeah.
The first thing I thought of when that was happening was the that thing that happened in Kaitai, where they like merged and shit. It was like exactly like that, except with avatar shit instead of cell phones.
Cell phone shit. And then you're seeing all, like, the past lives dying, which I have to talk about later, because there's people being really annoying about that. But that was super, super dramatic. And so, I'm trying to think where I want to start with that. Like, at that moment, did she not have the power to do anything beyond waterbending? And obviously becoming a giant, but when she got in the tree, but...
No, because we saw her airbend.
Did we?
She airbended to get up into the tree, unless that was Tenzin's doing.
Because I was like, okay, so should she not have avatar powers anymore? Because the spirit was what allowed the avatar to contain all four elements, but I was kind of confused.
She didn't really do anything, though.
Yeah, well, because once she was, like, giant, she just kind of punched and stuff, so that's why I was like,
might not have. It could easily have just been Tenzin lifting them.
And I was like, does she even get to keep her water bending? What are the rules? Somebody explain it. But yeah, that was really... I actually really wasn't expecting that to happen for her to lose her avatar powers at all during the finale.
Well, not only that, but the past lives as well.
Yeah.
Well, her connection to them. It's not like they stopped ever existing.
So, see, this is where I get confused. Like, I've thought about this before. So, is the person, like Korra, is she literally their soul of Juan just keeps getting reincarnated, or is it just the Avatar spirit passes into a new person, and then they just the Avatar spirit allows them to access the memories of whoever had it before?
I think it's...
See? That's what's confusing. I'm like, so does it just pass on like a destiny, or is Korra just a, like a really long reincarnation of one, just the same person getting reincarnated over and over?
Gets into the idea of what actual reincarnation, like, what the limits of that are. Because, I mean, that's more questioning how does reincarnation work.
Well, I'm not talking about general. In our world or any other
world.
Well,
no, I'm just saying, like, the idea of reincarnation itself can be confusing the more you think about it.
Well, yeah, but I just mean that, like, when talking about the past lives, like, was that literally her past lives, or is it just her able to learn from the previous people that were Avatar before her?
I think it's that.
It's like in Buffy.
Past life in a sense.
It's like in Buffy. The Slayers aren't reincarnated. The power just passes on to a new person when a Slayer dies.
It's a little more than that, though. Because you get all of their memories and all of their experiences and all of their everything, but you're still your own individual. So it's kind of weird. It's like that the Avatar spirit just kind of... It grows every time it becomes a new person. So, like, it adds another layer to it.
I can see that. It's like ogres and onions. Brian solves Avatar with ogres.
Shrek solves everything, apparently.
I don't know. I'm just always very fuzzy on that, especially since they introduced, like, the origins of it. Because, you know, before we knew about the light spirit, I just assumed, you know, it's the same person getting reincarnated so the thing could live on. So, I don't know.
I mean, obviously Rava's the same all the time.
Yeah. But anyway, let's see. Where to go from here? Out of the episode, I'm not too sure I was that big of a fan of them becoming giants.
Needed to get their Ultraman on.
Like, I didn't expect the Dark Avatar's power to become a giant. I thought maybe he could have looked like that, I guess, but I don't know. It just didn't feel right for me. I did enjoy when she showed up and, like, Korra's back, and then he said, yeah, and she's a blue giant. Like,
oh, Milo.
He was so excited about it.
Look, they knew that giants were popular. So, like, let's make...
Because, hey, they have this game called Skylanders Giants. Like, choose your Korra. I don't know. I just... Especially because I really liked the... I always liked the bending fights in general, but having the... When they were both avatars, seeing them fight was really cool. And I would have rather seen a little more of that than two giants punching each other. Because giants are so clumsy. They fall over easily. And they're not very acrobatic. And I just... I enjoy the bending fights more. And what the hell kind of, like, god mode did... What's her face show up with? Asumi. Not Asumi. Shinora, there we go. Asumi. Like, she just shows up glowing and saves the day. What was that about?
I'm sure it'll be touched upon eventually. We know that she's got, like, super spirit powers, so...
Well, we knew that, but she's just kind of like, I have to go help. And then she just shows up and is like, oh! And then everyone wins. Because, obviously, they explained a while back that neither of Rava or Vatu can die. They're always living with each other.
So what happened to Vatu?
I don't know. I assume he's still sort of alive. He's just really dead right now. I mean, that doesn't make any sense. Like, he's, like, really injured. Because they can't exist. None of them can be destroyed without the other. They both exist constantly.
They mentioned back when they were doing Juan's backstory that even if Vatu was destroyed, he'd resurface eventually.
So, what I'm wondering is, did... Unalaq started a dark avatar cycle.
Because I was wondering.
Because he died, and Vatu is... Either Vatu will somehow appear out of Korra, or appear on his own, or there'll be a dark avatar cycle. I actually thought for a little bit that she was going to absorb Vatu. And then she was going to be like this complete avatar thing. I don't know. That was one of the things. And then for a second, I thought that the little girl was going to become a new avatar or something. I thought that for a split second. Because she showed up all glowy, and I thought she was going to be like, yeah, you're more in tune with the spiritual chiz, so why don't you take it?
I don't think they're allowed to do that.
Well, you never know. But I just thoughts running through my head. But I honestly thought that she might absorb him and somehow try to balance the two out. But it would be interesting if he started a dark avatar cycle. Because they have the power of purple water. Or purple fire. Or purple rocks. Depending on whoever, purple whatever nation. But yeah.
I didn't think about it. That'd be something interesting to see next season.
Because he can't die. And now, because the whole reason that they kept the spirit portals closed, well, was partially to stop the spirits and the humans from fighting, but also so nobody could let him out. But there's nobody to keep in there. It's just a tree now. So I don't know. So that should be interesting, because I feel like they have to address that at some point.
Because, like, it's kind of like a where do we go from here thing.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, we didn't really know what... Excuse me. This season was doing until we started getting, like, the preview clips and stuff that was going to be about spirits and the history of the Avatar and stuff. So it's kind of be interesting to see what 3 and 4 do.
3 is going to be called Change, the book.
Change the book?
What?
Book 3, Change?
Yeah, that's what it's going to be called. I'm not joking. That's what they said. Oh, I thought you thought, what a dumb idea, Dawson. What next, Ambor? Idiot.
This was the way that you phrased it. It was funny to me.
Sorry. Change
the book.
Change the book to a movie, because books are boring. Book 4, Movers. But anyway, I liked the ending in the sense that I felt that Korra making the decision to keep the portals open will create some more interesting storylines, but I thought it was very Korra. She never has really done anything the way that people before her have done. And I like that she questions it and that she wants to make her own path. And I thought that the whole new Avatar cycle and her saying, you know, those guys are old and busted, I'm the new hotness. I don't know, I like her making that decision on her own, because since the beginning with the teachings of the bending and everything, she's always wanted to do things her own way. And I like that. This is the part where people say stuff. So that there's discussion instead of just me talking.
That's no fun.
Exactly. So, any time. Kevin? Oh, wait. Aerosol? Wait, is he here?
Yeah, I'm here.
Oh, sorry. It was just so quiet. Like, I didn't even hear any, like, background noise. Do you have anything to add?
Not really.
Brian? You're our only hope. You didn't like the end?
Well, I don't know. I think since the next book is apparently going to be named Change, and we are kind of gearing up for what Korra said would be like a new era, I wouldn't mind seeing it kind of move past the old series and into something almost completely new. What I mean is that in this season and a little bit in last season, but it was somewhat more prevalent this one, we had a lot of like remnants of the old series. A lot of stuff dealt with Aang's kids and how Aang was as a father, and just things that happened in the past series. There's a lot of different references, a lot of different shout-outs, like Iroh showing up. Hell, that General from season one.
Still looking for the last airbender.
In the spirit prison.
He essentially represented those fans that can't let go. That was him.
But I look at the old series, and even like the Wan story is kind of representing how everything was and how, like, the Avatar world used to work. And now, going into this next season, we already have a lot of things that are kind of different. There's a new cycle with the Avatars. Like, she no longer has the ability to rely on the past. It has to be the future. Nothing, like, all we have left now is the future. All we have left now is to find out what comes next. So I would like to see it sort of move away from all of those references of the past and kind of get more into how the world as a whole is going to change or has changed, or, you know, what is going to happen as opposed to what has happened.
Yeah, I agree. And I thought the final scene kind of paved way for that when she said, you know, it's important to look to the past, but we have to forge our own path. And like I said, that's very Korra in that respect. And, you know, speaking on the past is kind of a good thing, like a segue to it. Like some really annoying fans that I've read this week. One of the comments was when it was on Facebook, because I went to go click on the episode, and then I went back to read comments on there, and there was somebody that said, "That's it, they've completely ruined it. They have effectively killed Aang forever now that she's lost contact with her past lives." I'm like, you realize Aang was already dead, right? Like, they can't kill him more. And there was a bunch of people that saw her losing connection with the past lives as them killing Aang, and they saw that as a betrayal, which I thought was really annoying.
Well, I don't think the series should rely on what it was.
Yeah.
No and series I think should by, ever rely on what it was.
I think by severing that connection of Aang, it's sort of like a... It's sort of symbolizing that they don't need Aang to make the series good.
Yeah.
And Korra doesn't need Aang to be a good Avatar. Besides, it's not like Aang never existed.
Yeah, I know. It's like, if they need to look up something he did, it's there.
It's that same argument that you keep bringing up with pretty much every fandom. You can't retroactively make something not be there anymore.
Yeah.
You know, it's that stuff happened. It's not going to change. It's just she no longer has contact with them.
Because it's not like if they need to look up something they did, even if it's not Aang or another Avatar, and be like, oh, this Avatar dealt with this situation. There's obviously a record of it. And Korra never used that ever. She went back to see Wan. Aang gave her the ability of energy bending. But other than that, she could have cared less about like that spiritual stuff. So it's going to make the library that the next Avatar has to see a lot smaller. Just the one. Let me check out my past lives. Oh, just the one. All right. just the one. Get it? No? Okay. but yeah, I like the way that ended. And a lot of people really, we've talked about this before, but really don't like Korra. And I honestly really like her. She does make some dumb decisions sometimes, but I like her sort of more
human.
Yeah, and I like her more aggressive style of things, and that she questions, like, tradition. Like, you know, Tenzin's always like, you gotta learn the airbending form, and she's like, well, it's just as effective if I just punch the shit out of him, which is just true. She's essentially using firebending techniques with airbending, and it works just fine, and throughout the season, she does wise up pretty quickly, and I don't know, I just like her more aggressive approach to things, and people make Aang out to be so perfect, and he wasn't, especially in the first series, because he was a kid. I just rewatched an episode the other day, which was on Nick. I think it was the season 3 premiere. It was after Aang was injured by Azula, and they had set up that cover as a Fire Nation ship, and Aang was upset that he couldn't do anything, and he just ran off, and he was ready to like attack a Fire Nation ship, which were very stupid decisions, because his team had spent all this time coming up with this cover so that they were able to travel around safely in the Fire Nation, and Aang was about to throw it away in like 30 seconds. And if Korra did something like that, people would like blast her for it. But no, like, not perfect Aang, because he made some pretty dumb decisions like that.
There are several instances in the old series where Aang was not making the best choices. Like when he tried to learn firebending too early and he ended up hurting Katara.
Yeah.
Or when he was trying to learn earthbending and he was pretty much like, do I really need this? I'd rather not. Mind you, Toph was like throwing boulders at him or something, so I can understand his hesitance.
Oh, Toph. But yeah, he was far from perfect, and people have their rose-colored glasses on about a lot of it, which is really stupid because both of them done stupid things, and I really don't see much of a reason to hate her for it. And I like how different she is from Aang.
It's one of those things where if you want Aang so much, go watch the original show.
Mm-hmm.
Don't sit there and complain about the new show and the new characters just because they're not the same characters. They're not going to be the same characters. If they were the same characters, it wouldn't be an interesting show. It would just be the same show. It's a different show. Get over it.
Don't look at the people thinking that the show's ruined now because she doesn't have the past lives. It's ridiculous.
It's not to say that, like, Korra, the show, doesn't have its issues.
No, it doesn't.
I'd say one of them is just, I do wish it had more episodes.
Yeah.
Per season. I think you get to a certain point where the series kind of has to rush a bit, and you don't spend as much time on characters that you would really like to. Like Asami. Asami really didn't do much this season.
Poor Asami.
Which was weird because she seemed like she was going to.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like with Mako, I think had they had a longer season, they could have taken an extra episode to figure out like a solution to his whole situation instead of just like, oh hey, here's Bolin. He'll take care of it. Mako, you sit there in jail. But that's just more an issue of them not really having the time or the amount of episodes to work with as they did in the previous series, which they had a decent number for each season.
I will say that I liked Asami a little bit better this year than I did last year. Just, I think it was because I didn't expect Asami to be a regular character. I thought she was just going to be there to be sort of angst for Korra and Mako, and then she was going to turn evil after because of her dad. And I kept expecting her to leave, and she never did. So we were kind of stuck with her. And I thought she didn't do much, but I liked her more this year because I guess I was used to her not leaving. And I liked Mako more this year, too. I didn't hate him last year. I think I said that before. But I liked him a little more, his storyline a little more this year. But, you know, he should be attacked for not being Zuko. I mean, why aren't all firebenders Zuko? Hi, Zuko here.
Well, General Iroh is. Same voice actor.
Yeah, it's related to him. So he's clearly the best. He's a superior character to Mako and everyone on there because he's related to a character from the original series. I am curious, unless they mentioned it, I am kind of curious if Zuko's alive or not. They ever mentioned anything? Oh, okay.
They mentioned it last series.
He's just
and
so old.
Even this season, General Iroh, the young one, mentioned that his grandfather and mother were, like, doing something in the region. That's why he sent. That's how Korra ran into trouble with the twins and the spirits, and then lost her memory. She was on her way to see Zuko.
Oh yeah, okay. So there, he answered it. I was just curious about that. There's something else I just thought of because that was another thing that reminded me. Something else that pissed me off. There were people upset that Katara didn't join the fight somehow. But she's old. She is old. Like, why wouldn't Katara get in there? I'm like, well, she's probably got to take her medicine at a certain time. She can't miss it. Well, I should help them. Oh, but I got to take my pills. So that was stupid. I mean, she was healing people.
Why didn't Aang help them?
Stupid dead guy.
Honestly, isn't Katara, like, in her 80s by now?
Yeah, she's pretty old.
She is fairly old, yeah.
She was healing people.
It's not like she wasn't doing anything.
Or wasn't she just going out there and bloodbending people like an old creeper? That's probably what she does on the weekends. You know, I was disappointed that we didn't get to see more of Beifong this season, because I really liked her. And I know she's kind of a connection to the past, but I would like to see a little more of her, just because I liked her in general.
Yeah.
She's kind of a badass. Because she basically was just there being an idiot towards Mako's claims. At least those two detectives got fired. That's good news.
If that's one complaint I have over anything else this season, it's that why was everybody such an idiot?
Yeah.
Like, why is nobody believe Mako?
And
he's got legitimate
else is
points.
Just a fucking idiot. Shows G Rangers. You know, I hope next season or next book or two, we get to, I kind of want to see what the Fire Nation and what the Earth Kingdom look like now.
Yeah.
Just because I like seeing like how modern stuff has affected places. Like, we've gotten to see in the Water Tribes, and Republic City is obviously a brand new place, essentially. But I kind of... We only got to see, like, the shores of the Fire Nation. Like, that didn't give us much of an idea. Like, oh, we're going to the Fire Nation. Ends up on shores and just takes a bath. And then she left. And we got to see the Air Temple. It was just... I kind of wanted to see how everything progressed. We got to see a zoom out of the planet. That seemed weird. I think it seems weird to see it in space just because that world is so rich. You just think about that world so often and you never think about space. I mean, obviously, I don't think they're going to do aliens or anything, but I don't know. I never thought about them like that. I don't know.
Oh, God, that's going to be the Avatar series, you know, two series from now is the Avatar versus aliens.
It's going to be a thing.
That would honestly be kind of hilarious to me.
Avatar in space.
Space bending. How does that even work? I don't know. It just does.
Space bending?
I don't know. But yeah. Well, overall, I thought the season was pretty good, though. I thought there was a lot of really good episodes. I'm really glad we got some of the origins, and I really liked those episodes, and I thought it was a really neat season.
I don't think the ending was nearly as rushed as it was last season. Mm-hmm. It did still have its moments here and there where it's like, well, that's sort of Deus Ex Machina at work. But
is her name showing up with a light?
Yeah. Like, in the moment, I wasn't, like... It didn't take me out of it, is what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But, yeah, there was a lot of good to come out of this this season. And some of my favorite stuff was with Tenzin, Bumi, and Girl.
Yeah.
Coat.
Her name's Coat.
But just their season-long arc about basically them just getting along and kind of coming to terms with their father and how their father raised them, and I like the little cap that got put on it at in the second to last episode, which we didn't talk about.
Oh yeah,
when Tenzin was in the spirit jail and he kind of finally had to face up to the fact that he's not Aang and he can't be his dad. But yeah, overall I thought it was really good, and they had some of the more some of the most touching moments of the season, really, was just them talking back and forth about their father. Or even like the one I remember the most was Bumi talking to the statue. About how he was sorry that he couldn't be a bender, but he hoped he still did him proud.
Yeah, that was a nice scene. Ah, the familiar silence returns. Hello, old friend.
Every time I talk.
I thought you were going to continue, so I wasn't saying anything.
No, I mean...
Taking your breath.
I am glad that Mako and Bolin kind of had their own little arcs and stuff that they were doing. Bolin's really didn't help out too much. But it was amusing. It was kind of... It is amusing to see how the world kind of progresses. Since you're kind of always comparing it to our world in a way, yeah. Like subconsciously at least. Because they have reached that point where movies have started to become a thing.
Yeah.
So it's interesting to see how the world of the Avatar, you know, reacts to movies and stuff like that.
It's like a parallel world to ours where bending exists. In spirits. And the world's most awesome animals. I think the fourth book should deal with how the animals all got mixed. Oh, well, I guess in their world that's not mixed. Platypus and bears were always the same. No one questions it. Ow. I think that's about it. Is there anything else?
No, I'm gonna miss it. Hopefully, I hope it comes back faster.
They said it was going to. Apparently, they were in production of the first few episodes, and they said it'll be a lot faster of a turnaround.
Did I mention the one comment I did see this week? No. This past week no. Was on a. It was on Friday after they showed, the second to last episodes on TV. And they had announced earlier that they were going to show the finale online. I saw someone's comment on Twitter saying, "Oh well, they're Nickelodeon's sure trying to get rid of this."
Oh yeah, I saw a bunch of those comments.
Like really, you think that's what is happening? You think
yeah,
they're
I saw
trying
a couple
to
of those.
Get rid of their show, a show that does get them quite a few ratings.
Nickelodeon is trying to kill all their shows. They're just a network that sits down every day and they're like, how can we get canceled this week? We still haven't managed to pull it off. We thought keeping SpongeBob on this long would do it, but it didn't work. We thought smothering Power Rangers would work, but it still keeps getting back up. We might as well sink this ship. Oh wait, that was a comment from Shukun Shinobi. You might as well just shoot yourself in the face. Shukun Shinobi. I just always crack up when I think about that as like one of those little things they do at the end of trailers when they show like what a certain magazine or said something about it. And Brian's is, well, you might as well just shoot yourself in the face. And Aerosol's is, I viewed it with my eyeballs. But I think that does it for Ramble Time. Next week we'll have Doctor Who stuff to talk about and Revolution. The mid-season finale aired, so we'll be able to do a
And Dawson, we're gonna chit chat about that.
Mid-season talk, and I don't think
Dan Ball's back next week.
Oh yeah, because we're doubling up. We're not gonna talk about double the series, the Kamen Rider or the Dan Ball. I'll just stop now.
Good. Okay. Okay, so now it's time for the Facebook question of the bi-weekliness.
That made me yawn.
I'm sorry.
Wait, I gotta get it out. Jeez. I'm sorry. Wasn't ready.
Yep.
Okay. So this week's question, brought to you by Aerosol, was what is your favorite video game console?
I was hoping you wouldn't say it was by me, because well, I was going to call you an asshole for asking the question.
That's exactly why I said it. I didn't want to...
What kind of asshole asks a question like this? okay, so Nicholas Herrenhoff says, PS2, my entire childhood is basically that thing. All the hours I spent playing Kingdom Hearts 1 and 2, Battlefront 2, Ratchet and Clank, Jax, Sly Cooper, and many more games are hours. I will never in my life regret spending.
Caesar, Cetus Lepidus, Caesar Arsaspidus says PS3. I hope soon, meaning in 6 months, the PS4 will take the spot. It'll take a lot longer than that. I mean, I don't think there's going to be like 12 games coming out in 6 months.
Sean Gardiner says, cop-out answer, but the SNES. I grew up with it. I have so many fond memories of games like Mario World, Mario RPG, Chrono Trigger, Secret of Mana. Such a great system.
Charles Chong says, PS5, hashtag from the future.
On topic, did you guys know that back when the PS2 was out, they actually had a commercial for the PS9?
Yeah, I remember that was like a little ball, and it was. I remember that. That was neat. I actually was just thinking of that when Brian was reading that comment. Anthony Ciano says, Super Nintendo... Wait, is it my turn?
Yes.
Sorry, I got really self-conscious. Super Nintendo or PS2. They're both consoles that I have fond memories with, either playing Super Mario World and Zelda and Link to the Past on the SNES, or playing Kingdom Hearts or Jak and Daxter. Both systems have fond memories. Jesus.
Our Lord and Savior Alvarado says, Xbox 360, because that's the only console I've had.
Jared Castile says, Xbox 360, because PlayStation sucks balls. The online is with the Xbox, baby.
Peter Lee says, he doesn't have an identity. Who are you? PlayStation 3. Most amount of games, most fun I've had with a console. I laughed with it, I've raged at it, and plan to get a ton more games for it.
Kevin Fantathong. Fanta, you know what? Whatever. The DOS machine plays one game, The Disappointing Life. I don't know. PC?
A nice big picture of Gabe Newell, because that's what we need in life. I also like the hashtag stealing Kiefer's bit. Brody Taylor Gage says DS and 3DS.
TKD Tigray says my PS2. Oh, his PS2. Nobody else's PS2. His PS2. The fact that I dropped it down the stairs, bent the AV port, stepped on each of the controllers at least 5 times a day, and that beast still works means nothing can beat the PS2 giant. Sounds like you had Morgan Von Webb attack that thing.
Oh, God, I'm glad I'm not the only one who thought of that.
Good times.
Mind you, I will remind everyone that the GameCube proved more durable.
Yeah, it did.
Colony Walken says, Wee! I just love the thing. I just love the thing.
Wee! Cody Mallet. Yes. Says PlayStation 3. I don't even own one. It just looks cool. That's a good reason.
Chenik Stewart says PS2. Favorite games on there, plus it looks badass. Hashtag black ass.
Okay.
Yes.
Corey Gong says bread loaf.
Okay.
Doesn't have video games, so he has to settle with loaves of bread. Jerry Gang.
Pitiful.
You're pitiful.
Well, that's true.
PS2.
Julian English says Xbox 360. Sounds like a secret agent name.
Mark Cruz goes with the most obscure answer of the bunch. Vectrex. Vector graphics. Built-in screen with sweet interchangeable overlays. Better than any modern console for sure.
Vectrex sounds like a PR villain.
Sounds like an evil Chenix.
Vectrex. The evil Chenix. The mastermind that can spell correctly. That's his superpower.
VZ.
Sorry.
VZ says my PC. VZ just says PC.
Will Jesse Hart says PC. Well, it's not as good as DZ17's PC. But that guy's PS2.
Holy alliteration. Joel James Jagasia?
John Jacob Jiggleheimer Smith says.
The GameCube. I love the name. I really do. That's not me even, like, joking. That's
you shared
awesome.
The name, and then I had to change mine because everyone helped, and I went out.
Stevie Ketchum says, I don't play video games, but I enjoy watching people play the Wii U. I've got no other arsehole poodle jokes, period.
Jeff Moses says, anything Nintendo. I like the Wii U, cuss. I can play all the old games I love on it. And they remade one of my favorite Zelda games, Wind Waker. And it looks like he tried to make an emoticon out of HD. It's like a guy with like a really big nose. Is it a Jewish emoticon? I don't know. Or a band-aided nose, I don't know. But there's no need to cuss here.
I'm trying to see the emoticon, and I know where you're going. I don't get anywhere with it. It kind of ends up looking like a shovel.
It does.
It does.
I see it.
Oh, that's great. EagleArdo26 says, I'm going to say the Wii U. Even though it might not have a huge library of games yet, what it does have is great, and with Super Smash Bros. And Kart, coming out next year, it's going to be amazing. Not only that, but with the Virtual Console, I can play some of my favorite classic games without needing an NES or SNES to play.
Andrew Booth says, I could say that my favorite is the Game Boy Advance, because it was my first console, but I think that the Wii and Wii U are better than the Advance. But to answer the question, my favorite is the 3DS. What did you just do to my brain? I could say this, or I could say that, but my real answer is the 3DS. Okay, you little troll.
I actually got the Dawson version this time, and it's very confusing.
Because it's a fake thing.
I know, that's why it's confusing. So he picks the super Virtual Carol Box Station.
Superior.
Oh, did I say... I thought it is.
Oh,
super.
Sorry. I thought you were actually reading it.
No, I'm just reading. I just read. I got
I thought
the Dawson version.
Pronounce the word superior.
No,
it's like superior only. Yeah.
Teach me things with Pokemon.
It's like, hey, superior, except super.
What's Fletchling based off of? Obviously a bird, but like what kind?
Some sort of Japanese robin, I think.
Okay, there's nothing that sounds like Fletchling that's an actual bird.
Fledgling.
That's a thing?
Yes. A fledgling?
Okay. I didn't know that. Anyway, it's some. I was having a discussion with somebody.
A fledgling is just a baby bird.
Okay. Well, I didn't know that. Okay, because I was having a discussion about that with somebody at school about birds. I was trying to think of other birds that started with letter F besides flamingo. And I said, fledgling. But that's a Pokemon. Unless it's really a bird that says like that. And then she said, fledgling. I'm like, did you just say fledgling or fledgling? And she says, fledgling. And I go, fledgling. It wasn't much help. But another case solved.
Yeah. So I've thought long and hard about this answer. And I don't got one.
Thank you, Brian.
There's just so much factors into everything to where I can't pick. The SNES was my first console, and so obviously there's tons of like memories involved on that. But as far as having the biggest library of games that I really fucking liked, GameCube. Because there was a lot of games I really fucking liked. Word.
I'm glad you said GameCube. Because that was one of my choices to pick from. And if one of you said it, then I wouldn't have to. Because I do love GameCube. It was a... When I was in college, I had to pick like a video game console to take with me because I didn't want to not have video games. But my PS3 is so huge that carrying it around was not easy. But the GameCube is a lunchbox. And the fact that it's designed like a lunchbox actually really helped me because I could just carry it around to like one of the lounges that actually had a TV. And so like that's how I spent most of my college years, was playing the GameCube.
This GameCube's legit.
Do you still have your fax machine PS3 like I do? The first one?
I do, but it's currently a doorstop.
Oh, it died.
No, it didn't die. It just stopped being able to play games.
So it died. That's like
it had a stroke.
It can turn on. I honestly don't know what's wrong with it. Just something screwed up, and it every time I tried to play a game, the whole system would freeze up, so I had to get a new one.
I was just curious because, you know, with launch week and everything, I've seen a lot of people saying, oh, don't buy the first week because, like, they won't last you. And then I'm like, psh, I have both the original versions of the PS3 and the Xbox. And then I did have to remember this is my second Xbox. And that one I had to send in because of the Red Ring of Death, because I got two Red Ring of Deaths. But I still do have both the old versions, even though the old Xbox sounds like a lawnmower whenever I use it. It's super annoying. That's why I was happy to get the Wii U for Netflix, because I used Xbox for it before and it would be like super annoying. That was a story.
The Netflix actually works really well on PlayStation 3.
Yeah, that's where I always watch Netflix, is with the PS3.
I couldn't, because I couldn't access any online features. Well, now I can. Now that I've just done the handy thing of deleting my year's worth of trophies. Small price to pay in progress. Oh,
I was waiting for Dawson.
Oh, yeah, okay. You should go in that order. I thought since you were talking, you were just going to answer. It's kind of a difficult one for me. I think I'm going to have to go with PS2, though. Because I do have a lot of really good memories from playing games on there with my friends and whatnot. And just a lot of games I really loved on there, and a lot of series like Jak and Daxter and Ratchet and Sly Cooper, and that thing was just like my console, even though I don't have it anymore. But, yeah.
Once again, of my three choices that I was trying to debate over, you picked one of them, which means I don't have to pick it. I love the PlayStation 2. It's fantastic. I have the most games on it. Out of my library of games. And it's got some of my favorite ones, and I'm still trying to find old games that I didn't collect just so I can play it. In fact, I was actually kind of sad that the PlayStation 3 couldn't play my PlayStation 2 games, because I hate the fact that it just kind of sits there collecting dust, because I'm busy playing PlayStation 3. My actual answer that I'm going with by process of elimination is the Game Boy Advance. It's kind of a weird choice because, yeah, technically, like, the DS and 3DS are better systems, but there's this certain kind of charm that came with my Game Boy SP and just all the games that I played on it. I love it. Like, I still, to this day, just in my free time, will play the Game Boy Advance. I will much quicker go to play a Game Boy Advance game than I will just about any other game. I don't know why. It's just, like I said, there's something charming about it that I really love. And I really love just kind of searching for different gems that I didn't really know about, and picking them up and seeing how they are.
Like that Trolls game?
Yeah, like that Trolls
game. Stylin'.
Gelin'. But yeah, plus it gives me fun, stupid crap like that. Because when a game was good on the Game Boy Advance, it was really good. but when it was bad, it was hilariously bad.
I almost gave my answer to just the Game Boy brand in general, because the Game Boy was my first console, and I always played it a lot, even right down to the Game Boy Micro that I got to play in high school while waiting for anything, or just during class.
That's how it was for me. Like, we had an NES and SNES and, like, a Sega growing up, but I don't know, that it always felt more like my dad's system or my brother's systems that they would play. But when I got my Game Boy, I don't know, it felt like it was mine, like it was my little exclusive little system that I could play by myself. So I have fond memories of just the whole Game Boy line in general, but I think they got a lot of flack when it first came out, the Game Boy Advance, but I think it was good. I don't know, that kind of trailed off a bit.
You know, when Pokemon used to mainly be on Game Boy Advance, I could only ever catch legendaries on my old Game Boy Advance, like the original one that was without the light, the white one that I had, and it was like my lucky Game Boy that I would only ever use to catch legendaries on.
I always wish they would have made a backlit version of that one.
Yeah, because I really like that.
As much as I love the clamshells, and my SP was pretty much my favorite console.
Brian, you already answered.
Back then. But,
stop being a boof.
But there was something about the form factor of the original GBA that I always enjoyed. But because it wasn't backlit, there just really wasn't too much you could do with it.
Yeah. Man, imagine the harshness we had to deal with. We used to not have backlit games. Your bag used to get full quicker. You had to go in there every time to ride your bike. Kids these days, they don't know. They've been so good.
They don't know.
Have you tried to play an original Game Boy recently?
Yes.
It's tough.
It's awful. I played my Pocket and a Brick. Both experiences were fairly awful. Having to slide that little contrast bar around.
Like, people still carry those around so that, you know, usually it's the Gen 1ers for Pokemon. They'll still carry it around and play Pokemon on it. But, and I'm just thinking, how? Like, why would you do that to yourself? I loved it as a kid, yeah, but there's so much, like, better options now. Yeah. Because the 3DS is a pretty good handheld. I love it, but I don't know. I still feel like it's somewhat new, despite the fact that it's a couple years old.
It's new compared to everything else that's not new.
Yeah, it still feels
new. Like, I still want more games, but that's me being selfish.
Oh, 3DS?
Yeah.
I got too many games. You can have some of mine.
That's some of Kevin's too. He's not playing them. They're just shelf pieces. Speaking of Kevin, his answer is the N-Gage. For the N-Gage! But his actual answer is the Game Gear.
Oh my god. Fucking Game Gear. That son of a bitch took like 6 or 8 AA batteries. You had to buy a pack of batteries to power this thing, and it would literally last like 2 hours and then die.
My cousin used to have one of those.
You needed the AC adapter in order to functionally play this handheld game. That was really bad. But damn it if I didn't love it. It's all hell. I actually had that before I ever had a Game Boy. I was awful. I was a bad kid.
Brian was a rebel when he was a kid.
Fuck you, I got Sonic the Hedgehog.
Little bitch. Brian. Brian always saying stuff like that when he was little. Even before he invented the name, he was just like, bitch, I don't care, I'm the Shukun Shinobi, except he was all little, and he would just run around you like a little terror. his giant glasses. He has
just running around going, "Bitch, I don't care. I'm the sugary shinobi."
Sugary shinobi?
You were a Yoshi?
Oh. Brian would just jump up and go, I can picture a little baby Brian doing that.
Anyways, now it's time for
Final Thingies!
Final Thingies! That was terrible. I got really self-conscious about it, and I turned into like a really weird witch voice. Oh. He has a thingy, and it's not final. That's what his poster says.
Just imagine seeing that on a poster.
It does. Mine says movie reference, and yours says, "Bitch, I don't care, I'm the Shuken Shinobi," and underneath it is that little picture of you jumping with money. So that's fun. I'll have to put pictures of that stuff up when I after we do the final versions. On Aerosol's little thing of the top 20 list, I actually put the number Durf in there, the little sideways four. It's like the top 20, but then it just there's an extra number in there, and I can't wait to see the reactions because I'm not going to explain it first. I'm going to wait for them to notice that there's an extra number in there.
When I was doing that, I was really tempted to make Durf team, but I felt like it would be better if I saved the joke.
Yeah.
Because if I did it twice, then it's just dumb.
Like, I'm just really looking forward to when we do the critique when we get back from Thanksgiving break, so that they'll look at it and be like, "What's that?" And I'll just be like, "It's Durf." Like it's normal. Like, that's the thing I'm looking forward to most.
It's Durf.
It's going to be great.